across the UK, online and on DAB.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio. Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions, powered by the passion of the spoken word.
It's speech radio, Jim, but not as you know it.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
It's when a lovely walks by, yeah, you can see her look in her eyes.
Hey, 29 degrees in London town, and I think in the 20, hey, in London town, sounding like a disc jockey, they've got to stop doing that. 29 degrees in London town, and in the 20s, wherever else you happen to be in this country. What a real privilege and pleasure to take over from George Galloway. Do you know, I've been, as I told him, I've tried to pursue him for interviews. I was almost a stalker for years and years and could never get them. Finally, we meet in a studio. And I'm still kind of starstruck, I've got to say. Now, tonight, if you are in any way familiar with what I normally do here, which is The Unexplained on Sunday night between 10 and 1, where we talk about weird stuff, hard science, pure science, paranormality, a lot of that, but not all of it, as you are about to hear, is going to go straight out the window and into a skip outside this building tonight, because it's pretty much open lines. We want to hear from you. Whatever you want to say, if you want to ask me a question about my checkered past in broadcasting, because I have been everywhere and done everything, possibly on a radio station in my time close to you, anything, or anything, you look, if you want to get it off your chest, if you feel like you want to offload, then this is the place to offload, okay? Within reason, like all things, but you know, I'm going to, so I don't see why you shouldn't, to be perfectly frank with you. So our number here, which we have well rehearsed before, is 0344-499-1000. 0344-499-1000. I'll say it again. It would be nice to hear from you. You know, ease me into this. Be gentle, if you can. Tell me what you make of the world. Tell me what's going on with you. And I've got some ideas of stuff we might talk about. But I'd rather than roll those out to any great extent, I'd rather hear from you, to be perfectly frank. Because The Unexplained, if you've heard that on Sunday nights, takes hours of preparation. You may not think it when you hear it. You may think it's all chucked together, because sometimes it sounds that way. And now that Cass, George's producer and my producer on a Sunday night, has gone, I can say that. And I'm only joking. But this is great, because this is as it comes, really. We're going to take it as it comes. 0344-499-1000. You can tweet in the normal way, at Talk Radio. And if you want to text, I've got to be very careful how I say the text thing, because I work at other places, and if I give somebody else's number out, I'm going to be in all kinds of poo. It's text TALK, and then your message, and a space to 87222. And with me tonight is my producer, and also my co-conspirator on The Unexplained, Hayley Hayes.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Hayley. I tell you the truth, I'm a bit nervous about this.
Well, you shouldn't be.
I've been doing this for years, this radio thing. And I am nervous about this, because, you know, I take over from somebody who's a big name, and I fill in for somebody who's a big name, and I feel like sort of piggy in the middle a little bit,
but it's
fine. It's absolutely fine. So, like I say, The Unexplained goes out the window today, Hayley, doesn't it? To an extent.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say completely.
Not completely, as we were.
It's still hanging out, sort of.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's all hanging out here, as we used to say in the 1970s, when, of course, I was at least 3 years of age. If you happen to be a time... The Unexplained is going out the window to an extent. Safe to say that if you are a time traveller, and you're listening to this now, or you've been abducted by aliens, and you have a whole tranche of missing time and strange wheels on your body... little marks, and you don't know how they got there, you could be right up our street. So we still want to hear from you, just as we would on a Sunday night.
Yep.
And in the second hour, we've got one of Hayley's friends coming on, and somebody who was on The Unexplained when it used to be on TalkSport yonks ago, Michelle Knight, who's going to do some tarot readings in the next hour. I love the art of tarot, because it is an art. And Hayley, everybody does it differently, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Because I'm just so excited for that. But we've still got an hour to go, so give us a call.
Exactly.
Even if you don't want a tarot reading.
So if you want to book your call for tarot with Michelle Knight, world famous tarot person, it's 0344-991000. If you just want to talk about stuff, then you can do that here. We have some ideas. One of which we can get into, I think, kind of now, because it's something that I read earlier this week, and I think you saw it too, didn't you? The End of the World as We Know It. There's a song, if ever I saw a cue for a song title. could be coming our way. Now, we have heard this kind of stuff before, and usually people like Ian dismiss it as bullshine, because the proof is the fact that we're sitting here and still extant and living. But the end of the world as we know it is claimed by those who claim to know about these things to be about to happen on the 23rd of April. Now, if my calendar is right, and this £10 watch from a major supermarket chain, that's true, it was £10 there, it's a bargain basement, is right, that's in 2 days from now. Let me just read the story that it comes from. It was in The Express and loads of other papers as well. The end of the world could be arriving sooner than we thought. As a new theory suggests, we are now in the end times. If I was doing one of those voiceovers, then you have to say, we are now in the end times. See, Ian,
oh, that is too good.
There are many things that Ian Lee does that I can't do. I can do that and he can't do that, I don't think. So, April 23rd, shock prophecy. Is it true? Will the rapture occur on Monday, the 23rd? According to conspiracy theorists, codes in the Bible suggest the end of the world is imminent, with Earth set to be destroyed on the 23rd of April. One theory suggests the end times date back to astrological constellations appearing on November the 23rd, matching the Book of Revelation 12:1-2. Which I think makes, well, I don't know how that works, but whoever wrote this knows. The passage 12:1-2 reads, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth." Now, Christian conspiracy theorist David Mead, who was on The Unexplained, is one of the people predicting that a mythological planetary system, it gets worse. Not only is it going to be cataclysm on the 23rd, but also Planet X. A lot of these conspiracy... Have you heard of Planet X?
No, I haven't. Tell me.
Planet X is otherwise known as Nibiru. Who I thought was a 1960s politician, but that was Nibiru. So
you would have thought it would start with an X if it's called Planet X.
Well, you're muddying the waters now, aren't you? Well, good God, I'm only 10... I'm 9 minutes in.
That's how my brain works.
That's fine. But Planet X, otherwise known as Nibiru, is supposed to be heading here to wreak fire, brimstone and the end times on the 23rd of April, according to people including Christian conspiracy theorist David Mead. He claims it will then pass the Earth in October, causing the start of the rapture. Oh, I see, this is the beginning of the end, he says. Yeah. So there are those who say it will be the end on Monday, and those who say it'll be the beginning of the end on Monday. But no matter, because the question for you is this. If you want to play on this one, see what you think. If you did know, and we're not saying this is going to happen because in all probability, being sensible people, we know it ain't. But if Monday was the last day of the world, right, it was all coming to an end and the curtain was coming down and the jingle played, "That's all, folks," and we all had to go, how would you spend the last couple of days? What would you do? If it really was the end, and somebody from NASA or somebody like that on telly saying, "Well, we have a very serious and important announcement. The end times are upon us. We are about to exit this planet, and all human life as we know it will be extinguished on the 23rd of April, 48 hours from now, according to this." So what would you do? Have you ever thought about that? Not only in terms of globally, cosmically and all the rest of it, but maybe in your own life. I mean, last year I had a lot of health issues and I was still going on the radio and you would never have known. And I had loads and loads of tests and I was a worried man. And I was preparing for my end times and thinking, well, what would I do? And the funny thing that happens to you when you get in that situation is that you start not to be frightened. If you're facing something bad and you're staring it down the barrel, you become really calm. Lots of people who are in situations like that report that you become absolutely flat-o-calm. Hayley, you look very sceptical about this.
Well, yeah, I am, if I'm honest. But that's fine, because it's balanced, right?
Okay. look, trust me, but just imagine if we expanded...
Just imagine.
If we expanded that globally to everybody, and it was the end times for all of us, we'd all have to make a plan, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, if we're into that kind of thing, I mean, look, we know each other reasonably well. We've worked together for about a year now.
So
if it was the end times on Monday, it was the great cosmic ta-ta, farewell, goodbye, you know, Sound of Music, goodbye, whatever, farewell, whatever musical that was, somebody will tell me. How would you spend this 48 hours? You wouldn't be wasting three of it with me. I know that.
Sound of Music.
Okay.
Musicals.
What, you'd watch musicals continuously?
No, you're saying what song, where does that come
yes,
from?
Yes, we've moved on from
there. Oh, gosh.
If it was the end and you had 48 hours, first of all, you go home from here because you wouldn't be wasting three of it with me. But what would you...
But you know what? I don't know that, actually. I would fill it. I think what I would do is not work so much. I would do all the things that you probably should never do. You know, the things that they say don't regret anything. So I'd probably spend more time with my friends and family. I'd forget about emails and to-do lists and calling people back.
It all, this is the thing that you find. And you know, having been had a little taste of it last year. All of the stuff that you thought was important, people think of me, and, well, we know that, it all just suddenly fades and pales into nothing. Because when nothing is staring you in the face, nothing else is
really
important.
Matters. Yeah.
There could be a song there. Philip, thank you very much in South Norwood. Nice to hear from you. Who says, quite rightly, there's a classic country song called The End of the World by Skeeter Davis. Thank you, Philip. David Fowler, thank you. Nice of you to tweet and say, nice to hear you on the scene. This is good. It's going all right so far, Hayley. This is your production. All right, let's get on then to talk about this, to set this up and to take you partly away, a little way along the path here. Let's get to, this is your idea, Hayley, okay?
Okay.
I just have to make that clear.
You're going to make that clear, just, okay.
Well, that's in case the boss is listening. to Kev the Witch. I've read about him online. He looks fascinating. Let's talk to him. Kev, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
How is Hastings tonight, Kev?
Tonight it is cool, thankfully, but after, really high temperatures today.
Well, for some of us, Hastings is forever cool, I would say. But look, Kev, your website is Kev the Witch, and your name is Kev the Witch. The only thing I would say, it was my first thought, if I was a witch and my name was Kevin, I would probably change my name to something exotic like Faustus. How come?
I think people can grab the name better. People find it quite comical, Kevin Witch. So I've stuck with that. Other people call me, I've stuck with that. And so now everybody calls me Kevin the Witch.
And I've spoken to a lot of witches over my years. I interviewed my first witch when I was 23 years of age, and that's at least 5 years ago. And that person was an earth witch. She used earth magic, as she called it. So what's your bag? What do you do?
Exactly, the same earth magic. We believe that, the universe and the earth and everything is actually, pulsating like a living sort of energy. And by tapping into that energy, you've got to say the Force in Star Wars, but very similar. By tapping into that energy, we can actually make things change, happen for people in different parts of the world, which has been catalogued very well.
Right. Okay, so what your take on being a witch? And first, let's wind this back to the beginning. Let's ask, as my first boss said, Howard, ask the basic questions first. All right. So, Kev, how did you know that you were a witch? How did you discover that? And what is one?
Well, when I was about 5 years old, I had nothing going on before that, nothing unusual at all. And I really do put it down to basically what happened when I was quite young. My father wanted to go and play football up on Plumstead Common. I was born in Plumstead. And on the way, he picked up another lady. And they left me in the car, and they said, right, we're going to have to look somewhere to play football. So I left it, I don't know how long, half an hour or whatever, and went looking for them. And there was my dad under a tree doing press-ups on this lady, say no more. And he said to me, if you effing well say anything, you're dead. And, of course, me being me, the first thing I said when we got... Well, we got back to the car, but that had been stolen because the keys were in the ignition, so we must have got home about 11 o'clock at night. And I said, Mum, why was Daddy doing press-ups on a woman? And that kind of erupted from the following day onwards, the kind of things happening to me. I could go to school and make little silly predictions about people's dinner, what they'd have in the sandwiches. And I told a chap one day that... he'd actually, if he climbed the tree that he loved, he'd break his arm. And he broke his arm the following day. It's probably me suggesting it that he went up there, though. And I was hauled before a school headmistress, Miss Bratton, her name was. She's probably long gone by now.
What, and told to buck your ideas up?
No, I thought I'd living inside me.
Oh, no. So what did you... And so how did you start feeling about yourself, then, if that's what you were told? You know, if the school headmistress tells you something, then you believe it, don't you?
Well, the headmistress and the school vicar, they wanted to pray over me there and then.
All right, so there you are. You start having these premonitions of stuff, and as you said, your father was a fitness trainer, as we heard. Talk to me about the end of the world, then. They're saying it's going to be starting, at least, and may actually happen on Monday. Are you getting any cosmic signs this might be so?
I'm not getting any cosmic signs at all about the end of the world on Monday.
God for that.
But I do believe that it's going to be some sort of catastrophe this year that's going to be, you know, very, very different to what normally happens. You know, when people think of end of the world and all that sort of thing, they think of nuclear war and everything. But I really do feel that there's something out in space that we're not being told about that is actually approaching us. And one of the days that comes to mind is the 18th of November. And I don't know why, but I just kind of keep seeing like a calendar in my mind with that date on it.
It's not your birthday?
No, that's Boxing Day.
Okay.
I miss Christmas Day.
Just got to check, you know, there's no other influence there. Okay. So you think there's going to be some kind of, oh my God. Well, look, we need to, Hayley, can we note that number down for Kev?
Yes, we can. But I want to know more, like, how long have you thought it was going to be that date? How long have you known? When did that date come to you?
Well, funnily enough, it came to me about 2 years ago. So I do tarot card readings as well for people. And I was looking at someone's cards, and totally separate from the reading, I just saw this calendar date come up. And I've been waiting, I'm curious. I mean, if the world was going to end, I'd be outside watching it come down. But it stuck in my mind why that's been happening. I've had dreams about it. And I'm sure something pretty big is going to happen on that 18th of November.
Well, of course, they do say, don't they, that big events... I mean, look, being faintly serious about it for half a second, and you were quite right, Hayley, to ask that question, but big events ripple through time. So things that happen in the future, the ripples of big things go backwards through time and affect people. So even though they may not know... I mean, this is just a theory, right? And I'm full of them, as you know. But big events ripple backwards through time and people feel them, but they don't know what they are. So that might be what's happening to Kev. Kev?
I think people have got, like, a built-in radar, if you like, and, you know, you can sense things just like animals. And the way the mood is, you know, even in the beginning of this year, you know, turmoil everywhere. One thing I do find a bit funny, though, is the way that Donald Trump and the North Korean guy, I can never remember his name.
You mean Kim Jong-un?
That's the one.
How can you forget his name?
Two wonderful men with memorable hair.
He's too insignificant.
But, I think he's quite important, actually.
Well, I think, really, if you think of those two making up, and there being peace and all that. I don't really get the drift of that.
It's in the process of happening now, you know, Ken. Yeah, that's what they're saying. Who are we to say?
Yeah, in my cards, it's actually saying that he's stalling for time to complete more weapons. You know, he is a nutter. That's all I can say there without being sued. but
he speaks very highly of you, by the way.
Ah. I like Donald Trump. He's got a good sense of humour, I think, but he's serious about what he's doing. And I did an interview for NBC television some years ago, and for them I predicted our Prime Minister getting in, Donald Trump getting into America, and the third one I predicted would be quite a war. And again, that came up as 2018. So, for whatever reason, I do get a bad feeling about this year. And, you know, if I was to say to your people out there, you know, if you're having spooky problems this year, phone in. I don't know what would happen.
Well, hey, Kev, I think we need to park it there for just, you know, half a second and let people take that in. Now, look, can I just say to my listener, you know, all one of them, can I just say that, you know, this is Kev's view. This is not our view. We're not telling you that anything really bad is going to happen on November the 18th. But it's a little mile marker or a date for your diary, perhaps. And if anything bad does happen, you can say you heard Kev say this. And what I want to do, Kev, the unexplained, the Lord willing, will still be going in November. We'll put you on that on a Sunday night and we'll talk about it. We'll talk a bit more about you as well, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I love your website, by the way, Kev.
It's very to the point, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it does what it says on the tin. So give us the web address so people can go and look.
Yeah, www.kevthewitch, that's kevthewitch.co.uk.
You're a good man, Kev. And have a safe night, won't you?
I've got one other prediction, actually.
We haven't got a lot of time.
How this will go down, I don't know. But I think when Harry and Meghan get married, that will last 3 years before it falls to this. If the world hasn't ended.
You know that we're writing these down?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The trouble is, I'm spookily accurate with things. And even when I say something as a joke, it basically happens.
Okay. Well, listen, but maybe sometime when I'm feeling braver than tonight, slightly nervous tonight, so we won't be doing it tonight, I'll ask you about me and Hayley as well. But not tonight.
Yeah.
Kevin, thank
you. Pretty good vibes off both of you, by the way.
Well, you know.
Very kind.
Certainly off Hayley. thank you very much. Kev the Witch, check out his website because it's very good and it's worth seeing. And it is, as he said, it does exactly what it says on the tin. James, thank you very much for your tweet. We won't be in the next week because we know people can travel back in time. Exactly. We know that the world, James says, very good point. If you're a devotee of this kind of thing, we know that the world can't end on the 23rd of November. Why? Have a guess.
Oh, I don't know.
Because time travellers have already come back from the future.
Oh, gosh.
See? And there was also somebody who asked me, I'm trying to see in this list of tweets here. John said, what is the silliest interview you've ever done? I don't think we have got enough minutes in this show to tell you the silliest interview. But one of them was Miss Piggy. So have I got time to tell this story?
Yes, you do.
Years ago, I worked on a big London music station. If you're in the southeast of England, you might remember it, with a man called Chris Tarrant. And I was his sort of sidekick and news person here. So I occasionally got to interview celebrities and people like that. So I met McCartney, and I met, you name a person, Lionel Richie and David Bowie, all sorts of people. But the best one was Miss Piggy. Because Miss Piggy, when you do an interview with Miss Piggy, is brought in a zipped-up carrier bag, okay? Because, you know, Miss Piggy, I hate to break your illusion in case you didn't know this, but Miss Piggy is a puppet. But a very realistic-looking one. So Miss Piggy's brought in a hold-all, and the person, I think it was Frank Oz, who was with Miss Piggy at the time, said, okay, the way that we do this is before you do an interview with Miss Piggy, you have to get to know Miss Piggy, take her out of the bag, shake her trotter, give her a little pat and a stroke and stuff like that. Then we put her back in the bag. Then we both close our eyes. Then we do the interview as me interviewing Frank Oz doing the voice of Miss Piggy. So we did that. And I was looking away. It was the most bizarre interview. And the last question that I asked, and it really was the last question, I said, so Miss Piggy, you're an international superstar. Have you ever considered, like a lot of people who've been around since the 1970s, considering just a little bit of cosmetic surgery? Maybe just a little snout tuck or something like that. And the interview ends with, Howie! And Miss Piggy supposedly leaping across the desk. So that was the most bizarre one. And one of the others was Prince Albert of Monaco. I actually got to interview Prince Albert. I don't know where the tape is. Prince Albert of Monaco. We did one of our shows in Monaco. I had to go out there and recce it the week before. And I was staying with a very famous person's father in the radio industry who owns a big chunk of the radio industry. Okay, I don't know, the people who know about this may know who I'm talking about, but the guy lives in Monaco, is worth a serious amount of money, and I stayed in his home while I was there reccing the thing, and I had to try and keep my jaw off the ground. Because of the amazing situation that the man and his wife lived in. Anyway, he turned out to be, as did his son, who is also a very famous person in the radio industry, he turned out to be a personal friend of Prince Albert of Monaco. So they said to me one afternoon, who would you like to interview most while you're here? So I'd done the footballers and all the famous people in Monaco. Am I going on too long with this, by the way? Just nod if I am. All the footballers, you still won't stop me. All the footballers and all those people. And in the end, they said, go for a walk. So I went for a walk. Mobile phone goes, get back here in half an hour. He's here, Albert. And I walked into the flat. And on the terrace, they had one of these posh terraces with, what's that posh stuff they put on places in the sun? It looks like some kind of grass that they knit into a mat. I don't know what that is. But whatever that is, it looks really posh. It's, you see it at posh swimming pools. But so walk out there, there's a table, and there's this man in a blazer. And it is Prince Albert of Monaco. I got to do an interview with Prince Albert of Monaco. I can't remember a word he said, but it must have been very good. So I suppose those two might count for the two most bizarre interviews in different ways. And thank you for asking, James. It's very good of you. This is Talk Radio. I'm Howard Hughes. This is not The Unexplained, as you can probably tell. If you want to speak with us here, Hayley and myself in the studio, it'd be lovely to hear from you tonight. You're only going to get me for one night. Thank God, you say. It's 0344 499 1000.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
At least it's not the end of the
Super Furry Animals. See, I know we're not a music programme, but, you know, we've got a bit of taste here. Well, Gary's got taste. Well done, Gary. That was very good. We'll have more like that still to come, apparently. Love to hear from you by text, by the way. You can text TALK, then a space in your message to 87222. The text will cost you 25 pence plus your network charge. But great value, as Chris has discovered here, because he says he has a very strong feeling that we've been in the end period since 2013 specifically, Chris?
That's a long time. Would it really drag out? I've always wondered if the world was going to end. Does it just happen as a big bang, or does it just slowly deteriorate?
Jeez, my life's been ending since I was born. I have no idea. I'm curious about 2013. I'm trying to think back to what happened then. He says, I feel it will be soon, but I can't pinpoint a specific date. Oh, November the 18th, as you heard exclusively here. I'm sure none of this will happen, Hayley. Let's get to a call then. 0344-499-1000 is your number if you'd like to come on the air here on Talk Radio. Ian in Milton Keynes. Hello, Ian. What's on your mind?
Good evening, Howard. Good evening, Hayley.
Hiya.
Hello. I've got that one point, one feature, and one amazing story.
Okay, well, we're
three for the price of one, then.
Exactly, we're rapt attention here.
The whole concept of information being shot back in time is covered really well by Stephen Baxter in his short novel, The Weaver. And it more or less sort of points to information being passed back as a kind of a blunderbuss, very undirectional, literally just shot back in the hope that somebody will pick it up.
What you mean? So it's targeted. It's not just random.
No, it's not targeted. It's purely random, and it feeds. Although it doesn't discuss the Book of Revelations, it is pure. It's just a story. It's not doesn't pretend to be anything else other than a story. The actual way it discusses the passing of information back in time, I think, is very adult and very worth considering.
Are you calling from the future yourself, Chris?
Ian. No, I'm not calling from the future.
I went and called you Chris. Ian.
That's right.
I barely know my own name half the time. Sorry, you were saying?
It's a really good look at how it might be done. Basically, no one knows how they're doing it. No one's able to steer the information in the past or how far it goes back. But you really have to read it. It's called The Weaver. But if you take the story and make it analogous to a lot of stuff that's the popular stuff in Revelations, it's a good story. Put it like that.
And I'm glad you're very balanced about it, Ian, and that, you know, you think it might be true and might not be. But it might account for the fact that sometimes people get these senses, these feelings of foreboding. And, you know, we sometimes wonder why. I often feel that way, usually connected with career. But, you know, and we just don't know what the problem is.
It's just a story. Mm-hmm. But it makes you think, when you read a lot of stuff on time travel and you see all the rubbish in movies, and then you read that book and you think, Yeah, it might be that simple.
Mind you, Milton Keynes is very futuristic, though, isn't it, Ian?
It is. I shall go on to my next point to astound you.
Okay.
Or rather feature.
I'm waiting.
Ghost. Unlike you, I have been up Liverpool Beacon, but I've never seen a ghost. But I have been told by members of my family, who are from the London area, that even if you're an unbeliever, it's not your thing. There is one place in London, in central London, mm-hmm. where you are guaranteed to be terrified out of your life. Some people believe it's the most haunted
I used to work there. Sorry.
Some people believe it's the most haunted place on earth. And I shall tell you where it is.
Please.
You can't get in there as a member of the public, but you can get access if you're a proper broadcasting journalist.
Okay. It's not a classified site or anything. It's not a secret site of military significance or something that we shouldn't
absolutely
be talking about.
Not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. It once was, about 900 years ago. You know the Tower of London?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very haunted.
Not as haunted as this place. Not by any means. Outside the Tower of London, on the other side of the moat, they built a brand new visitor centre. You may be familiar with it. It's all concrete and glass and shiny steel. Well, underneath the visitor centre, which is, I don't know, about 150 feet from the castle, underneath the visitor centre is a room, a storage room. And the only thing they keep in the storage room are chairs, a few tables, but thousands of chairs, which they use for events in the castle, around the castle, on the moat. And it really is a repository for chairs. Apparently, it's on two levels, so it's a big basement area, and you can go down a bit deeper. And it's new. It's not some ancient crypt. It's all new built. But people who've been in there generally don't stay very long. They're not allowed to go in on
all right.
their own.
All right, Ian. So it's scary. How do you know this, by the way?
I call myself a revisionist historian, but I kind of think I'm one of these people who takes my history not from the internet, but from old sources.
All right, so it's a very scary place, and it's, before I get the people from the visitor centre on the phone, this is what you say, Ian and Milton Keynes. Thank you for that. I'll tell you what you've got. Do you remember Dave Allen, the comedian? You remember him on telly?
Yeah.
He used to turn down the lights and he'd say, and then the man walked into the room, and he heard a gurgling noise. And then he heard a weeping and a wailing. Woo, woo. We have to do this with echo, and unfortunately we can't afford that.
Oh,
you have got his gift for building suspense, Ian, and thank you very much.
I've got one more.
I don't think we... All right, go on then. If it's a quickie.
This will blow your mind.
Got to be quite... Do it then.
This beats Rendlesham Forest and Roswell into the Cocked Hat. And if you're familiar with the UFO wave of 1952...
Intimately.
Across America. Mm-hmm. Well, in 1952, I think the month was April, a saucer flew over a primary school in Luton. Broad daylight, low altitude, a big bugger, buzzing as it did so, and all the children were out playing mid-morning break, and the teachers were out supervising, and they just looked up aghast as this thing buzzed low over the school. Now, the teachers got all the kids back inside and got the crayons and the paint and the sugar paper out, and they got all the children to draw pictures of what they'd seen. Very, very clever move. Within a number, it's either the next day or that, I think it was, the next day, the school had a visit. We had a visit from the Men in Black. Now, this is 1952, and there's no recorded mention of Men in Black till 1956. That's the very first written down. Anyway, these guys came around and they said, you will hand over all the pictures and everything to us, and we don't really want to hear about it much again. And the teachers said, get lost, you're not interested, don't take threats, go away. That night, a large part of the school burnt down, including the part of the school where all the kids' pictures were kept. Now, this is in Luton, a school called Ramridge, it's a junior school. I actually grew up and went to the neighbouring school. It's well known in Luton folklore, but it doesn't stop there, because the local newspaper, the Luton News, which sounds like a provincial non-entity, but in fact the Luton News has a very great record. They were the publishers of most of the black propaganda. They're Soldaten, the famous newspaper that dropped the German soldiers.
We're out of time, Ian, but to cut to the chase here, if I want to research this, I do apologise, by the way, I did say this wasn't going to be the unexplained. Somehow it seems to be going that way. But anyway, if I want to read about this, there are places I can go and read about it, can I?
Not on the internet. You'll need to speak to Jenny Randalls.
Who?
Jenny Randalls.
Oh, Jenny Randalls.
Had her on the Unexplained.
I'm sorry,
before.
I'm as deaf as I thought you said Johnny Outdoors. I thought, Lucy. You need. I'm sorry, I'll fix you up with that. You need to be speaking to Johnny Outdoors. Johnny Outdoors.
I should just point out.
Oh, yes. There's another part. Yes. No, no, I'm listening.
Luton News.
Yes, yes.
That burned down a few days later. After they published the story, after they were told not to, famous one, the granddad worked at the Luton News. And the Luton News burnt down in its entirety. Biggest fire Luton's ever known.
You seem to know an awful lot about this, Ian. I'm getting worried now. Do you think you should be helping the boys in blue with their inquiries? I'm only kidding.
I'm from Luton, so I know the folklore.
Okay. And listen, being very serious about that, I know there's an awful lot of that because I did some work on the radio up there. Ian, we're out of time. Thank you very much for that. It's Howard Hughes in for Ian Lee at Talk Radio.
Supercharged current affairs debate and electrifying opinion. Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
I'll be waiting through the end of the world. Waiting through the end of the world. Waiting through the end of the world. Dear Lord, I sincerely hope you're coming, because you really started something.
And yeah, I met him as well. I met everybody. Hayley, you know, what
is there
kind
anyone
of a,
you haven't met?
What kind of a life have I led? Gosh. Elvis Costello, the great guy, because we sat and talked for hours, really, because he's part Irish and he's part Scouse, like me. I'm Scouse, and he's Liverpool, Irish, London, all of those things all mixed up together.
Mixed bag.
And every so often, just like me, he'll come out with a Scouseism like that, you know. But doesn't talk like that, because he's lived in London for years, you know, like that. But we're both a bit that. Sorry, I'm just rabbiting on.
Cool.
The song was called "The End of the World," wasn't it, Gary? Gary, End of the World. Yes, Gary's shaking his head. No, he's nodding his head. It's hard to tell with Gary. So, let's get this.
He's busy. He's answering phones.
I know he's busy, man.
Doing stuff.
I'm sorry. I don't want to. Is this not the way it normally goes, though, when Ian's here? Is it normally more controlled than this?
No.
Good. Okay, Alan in Birmingham. How are you, Alan?
Hello. It's good to be on the Unexplained.
Only because you're not really on the Unexplained this time. We're trying not to be. In fact, you're right in a way, you know, Alan, because it's becoming a bit that way. But you can talk about anything. How is life with you then, Alan?
I want to talk about a famous celebrity death that's happened today.
Okay.
Avicii. He was a famous DJ, but only 28.
Oh, I read about that. He was Swedish, wasn't
he?
He was very famous. You're right.
It's too young.
It's been quite a week of celebrity death. We invited him. We had Darrington earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thankfully we didn't have Bill Roach. That's a whole other story, because somebody ran a spoof news story this week that Ian was talking about on
air. Ken Barlow?
I know. I read that, and because I've been doing news, Alan, for years, it looked 97%
accurate.
Okay, and it just had 3% of yeah, right, okay about it. But some people would have seen that, you know, and believed it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. So what? So you're saying that we've had a wave of celebrity deaths and one celebrity who isn't dead, thankfully.
I think it may be to do with the heat.
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe.
Unexplained there.
I mean, yeah, we could have, if we had the hours to do it, Alan, we could investigate that.
Well, it begs the question, who's next?
God, please don't say that. I'm looking in the mirror at the moment. I'm seeing myself on the little... They've got TV cameras in here, Alan. I can see myself on the monitor. I've just looked at myself. Oh, my God, it could be me.
I thought you might do it on YouTube or Periscope. like what Ian normally does.
Well, you know, one of the 10,000 people I've worked with in my life is Tony Blackburn. And Tony Blackburn tells the story. I'm not going to do the voice, but Tony tells the story. Yes, I'm doing it.
Go
every
on,
time
do
I
it.
Say,
sensational.
He tells the story, and he tells it much better than me, that so many people he's interviewed in his career, it's turned out to be the last interview they've done. And it was nothing to do with him. I think it was somebody from the Four Tops of the Temptation. He said, you know what, Howard? I interviewed him, and the next day he was dead. So be careful what you say, Alan, in Birmingham, because it might transpire. And I want a few more years, thank you.
Well, I was in your neck of the woods last week.
Where were you?
For the horse racing.
What, were you at Aintree?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you lucky man. I was born near the course, you know. Not on the course. I was born near the course.
On the Ormskirk Road?
Yeah. Yeah, I was born in a place called Netherton, which is just down the road, past the train station for Aintree, is where I was. Well, I wasn't born specifically there. I lived my first 7 years, the first few months I lived in a flat in Bootle. And then we lived in Netherton, which was not far from the Aintree racecourse. And you know what, Alan? Back in the day, there was a thing which they've resurrected recently called Jump Sunday, where all the mums and dads and the kids could walk around the course. I mean, I'm talking about a long time ago, okay? So my sister Beryl, if you're listening, Beryl, and I used to walk the course with mum and dad the Sunday before the big race. What was it like this year, Alan?
It was really packed. About 30,000 were there.
Gee.
Did you win much? Did you do any gambling?
I didn't have any single winners.
Oh. Really?
But I had an inkling that Tiger Hawk would go in, but I didn't back it.
Oh, why didn't you back it?
Because I was going to see you at midnight.
You were what?
I was going to see you at midnight.
Oh.
It's faithful to Ian and his show.
Oh.
I was used to do the sweep wherever I was working, you know, and I have this fluence about me. I would always get the horse that either fell or came last. You know, it was just... So I don't do it anymore, Alan. You're luckier than me.
I remember having to go on a sweep once. Picked up a new broom.
Did you get that from Tony's joke book? It's
no.
Very good. It's very, no, we liked it. And how's Birmingham tonight then? I've worked every damn where, but I worked in Birmingham. How's Birmingham
was
tonight?
Was that at the mailbox?
You what?
Was that at the mailbox?
No, it wasn't at the mailbox. The mailbox is where the BBC is. I was working with the other side. I don't mean unexplained wise. I mean, BR, it used to, I think we can mention it because it doesn't exist anymore, sadly. But I was on BRMB.
Don't you mean we have a step in the new name?
We can't remember what it's called these days.
Echo,
we don't know. Yeah, we don't know what it's called these days. But back in the day, it was called BRMB, and I was a young man, and I was working.
94.8 megahertz FM.
94, yeah, back then, not now. But
1152 kilohertz medium wave.
Oh, yes, we know.
261 metres.
Oh, God, he was there. You probably heard me, and you've just forgotten. Alan, listen, it's nice to hear from you.
No, I've always listened on 96.4.
Well, no, exactly. I tend to find the best place to be is DAB Digital Radio, a station called Talk Radio. Why do I say that?
Download the
because
app.
Because they pay me to. Okay. So download the app. That's what we say. Alan, thank you very much. You have a good night. And I'm sure Ian will talk to you when he's back next week. Thank God, you say. That's Alan. Andrew says you should do phone-ins on your Sunday show. This show tonight is as spooky as anything. It is a bit, isn't it? What do you think, Hayley?
I'm getting quite scared, actually.
And the funny thing is that you and I had a conversation before we came in here, and we said, OK, it's not going to be the unexplained, and what are we doing? In the next hour, we've got Michelle Knight taking your tarot card calls, and we're talking about... In fact, we haven't had a single experience, partly because I've been gobbing so much. We haven't had a single experience of what you would do if you found you had 48 hours before the end of the world.
I'd definitely eat my favourite food without worrying about the calories.
Mm.
That's what I would do.
I don't know what I would do. I'd probably go to my favourite place, one of them, because I've worked and lived everywhere. So I'd go to the top of the Malvern Hills, maybe, in Worcestershire, or I'd go down to Brighton and sit on the beach there on the pebbles until the lights went out for the final time.
Yeah, I'd probably go to my favourite place. I'd probably go to Somerset, probably go to Glastonbury.
Mm.
And I guess that's probably where a lot of people would levitate to if everyone knew it was the end of the world, to be honest.
Very interesting text here from somebody who should have phoned in. If you want to phone in, you know you can. And we're here, although we're doing tarot in the next hour, we're here after midnight as well. But whoever texted, and you're anonymous, says, I've been thinking about space and how it's infinite. and it goes on forever. But every time I hear an astronomer talk about it, they say it can't go on forever, which is a kind that pulls in two directions, doesn't it? How can you have something that is infinite, but some scientists say is not? I don't know, if you think about space, and if you think about what's out there and all of those planets that we keep discovering, it does your head in, doesn't it? That it might go on forever and ever and ever. I don't know. Have you ever thought about that, Hayley? Or are you too busy producing people like me?
No, you're right. I can do things that say, no, I'm not that deep, I'm afraid.
But it, you know, it's you've got to think about it. You know,
but then
because we're going out there. We're sending craft out there. In fact, NASA, which is one of the news stories I was going to do this weekend, but we might as well do it now, is sending a craft that's got one of those weird NASA names out there to look for exoplanets, which are planets that are capable of supporting life as we know it, wow. Or perhaps not.
Do you think there's already life out there?
Do I think there's already life out there? Oh, judging by some of the people I've worked with, I think there are many different...
I'm serious, though. Do you think that there's another planet out there living like we're just another version?
Do you really want to hear what I think about this?
Of course I do. So I'm asking.
Because you know, normally I don't get the chance to talk about these things, so it's quite nice to do this. I think that we are one of a number of parallel universes, is what I think, and what we call UFOs, and what we call ghosts, and what we call strange phenomena may simply be the spilling over of one parallel universe into another. So, in fact, you and I are in another universe. Maybe we're not the same age, but we might be doing this show in another place at another time. But we don't know about the other two people who are doing that, both of whose initials are HH, just like ours.
It's weird, isn't it?
It's utterly bizarre. I think that's unexplained in itself. I think that there are different parallel universes. So there. Let's get CJ in Stockport, South Manchester. Well, I don't know. Do you call it South Manchester or do you call it Cheshire, CJ?
Well, Greater Manchester.
That's
more. Since 1972, I think.
God, I left the Northwest years ago, so look what I know. So you call yourself Greater Manchester. So what do you think about, have you had any thoughts about what you might do with yourself if you were told that, I'm sure it won't, that the world is coming to an end in 48 hours?
I'd drink a bottle of rum, go to karaoke, dance around and party with my friends, but that's what I do usually.
I was going to say, don't you just do that every Saturday night? I think if the world's ending, you'd go a bit more...
But you see, if you did, then we'd have nightclub noises in the background now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
Exactly. You know, when you were saying about the universe being completely infinite?
Yes.
If science is correct here and the universe is infinite, then that means because of the sheer size of it and because of mathematical probability, there will be an infinite number of Earths out there just because everything will be possible if this universe is infinite.
Mathematically, that has to be true, doesn't it?
Yeah, because if it goes on forever and ever and ever, then there'll be another identical Earth. There'll be an Earth that's a little bit different. There'll be another Howard Hughes right
God
now.
Help us, no.
Oh, yeah, it's infinite. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, it sounds it. Have you studied... I never studied science, you know. I do the unexplained and I don't know anything about science, so I have to be helped by other people.
My science has been Star Trek and Doctor Who. And,
well, that's me too.
That's most people though, right?
Which Doctor Who were you then? What was your favourite? What in your generation?
David Tennant stole it for me.
Oh, great actor!
Yeah,
but you know how old I go back to John Pertwee, and I got
John Pertwee.
If you heard the Sunday show a year ago, I got the chance to interview Katie Manning, who was his sidekick in that series. So
have you seen his son, Sean?
Yes, he's Sean Pertwee, I think, is one of the station voices here on this radio station. Big, deep voice that guy's got.
Yeah, an image of him as well. It's magical. Someone photoshopped his father's hair onto him, and the image was just incredible. You know, if he ever did a revival of Pertwee's Doctor, he would just be brilliant. You know, he could portray it really well.
That's, I mean, it's all about genes, isn't it, and DNA, because my dad had a large, I mean, he wouldn't mind me saying this, God rest his soul, but my dad had a large nose, and my sister used to tease me, Beryl, if you're listening, because I've got a big nose as well. You can probably hear it hooting now.
Same Roman nose, I've got one as well.
Roman nose, you've got a Roman nose. Hey, CJ, nice to hear from you, and you see, you've given me more cause for thought here in South Manchester. Are you a thinking man? Do you like to think about stuff?
Yeah, I'm a writer. I'm currently writing a sci-fi at the moment.
Are you? And have you had? Are you publishing it yourself, or are you getting someone to do it for you?
I've sent two books to be looked up by the publishers, so I'm still waiting on them. But it's interesting. I sit here on the Sundays and I pop you on, and it helps. You know, the imagination and the intrigue that your show creates. It's a great show.
What sort of inspiration is it?
Yeah, it's just when people are ringing about space and aliens and supernatural encounters, and I'm sat here thinking, this stuff's fantastic. I need to write these ideas down and channel it into something creative. And, you know, your shows are helping me write sometimes tonight.
Okay, so look, we're running out of time, unfortunately, for the news, but if you get this book published and we can see it, what name would it be under? It wouldn't be under CJ.
Oh, yeah, I'd be under CJ.
Would it be? Okay. I think that has a kind of ring to it. CJ. CJ, we'll look out for it, and thank you very much. And I'm glad that you listened to The Unexplained. And please,
great show.
Please keep listening and tell your friends. And it's inspiration for CJ. Thank you, CJ, in Stockport. Just quickly, Lindsay says on text, I'm from Netherton. All the best people are, you know. Very close
you
to
wouldn't
the
rain.
No, it's true. I live in. What are you doing in Sheffield? What am I doing in London? You live in Sheffield now, and I really like it. Did you sometimes cover a show in Liverpool for somebody very famous up there, Lindsay? The answer to your question, without name checking the individual, because we're on a different station now, is yes. And thank you very much for your text. I think it's a Nevertonian here. This is Talk Radio. My name is Howard Hughes. We'll be right back.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Howard Hughes.
On Talk Radio.
Rhythm is both the song's manacle and its demonic charge. It is the original breath. It is the whisper of unremitting demand. What do you still want from this other singer? Grace Jones, slave to the rhythm.
I'm just playing around, baby. Left for days, and who knows? Wheels must turn to keep the flow. Build on up, don't break the chain. Fox will fly when the whistle blows. Never stop.
Oh, Grace Jones. Do you remember that bit on the telly when... I know I'm old, but... Remember Russell Harty, a talk show host on the TV, had Grace Jones as a guest and she slapped him across the gob? It's one of the classic TV moments. I love that song. You just don't... Why does music radio... Gary will know this, my producer, my technical producer tonight. Music radio doesn't play that song. I've got the 12-inch version of that. You know, in the days when you could get a special extended version of a song... and you pay about £5 for it, and it would sound better and run for longer. I've got the 12-inch version of that. That is classic stuff. Very soon we'll have Michelle Knight here. She is going to do tarot readings for you. A lot of you queuing up for those. We might be able to squeeze you in. 0344-499-1000 if you get your call in. Archie, thank you for your text. Says, check out a book called Afterglow of Creation. The book explaining that deep space is so cold that everything stops there. And nothing can exist. That's probably true, unless you've got a spacesuit. Which, of course, if you're working on the International Space Station and you're walking outside it, you would probably need. But I don't think we can even contemplate the coldness of space, the isolation of it. Have you ever thought about that? It is not only ultra cold, but apparently space has a smell of its own that we hear about sometimes. Did I hear somebody describe it as being like gunpowder or something like that? And apparently space has sounds, but they're not sounds that you can hear with your ears. They're sounds that you have to translate from radio frequencies, because last year, on that Sunday show of mine, The Unexplained, we got a recording of some of the sounds of space. Weird beeping noises and stuff like that. So the roadmap, anyway, for this hour is that we're going to have Michelle Knight doing tarot card readings. And then in the next hour, I'm going to rediscover, I'm hoping this works, because you are going to love this person if you've never heard her. It's Paul McCartney's auntie, Angie, who's been a bit of a celebrity on Liverpool radio for years, which is where I got to know her. And she is such an amazing lady. I think she's well into her 70s now. She is as feisty as anything. She is a business person, and I've got her biography here. You know, I've spoken to her loads of times on radio, but I didn't know the full story. She's been a record producer. She's been a roadie. She's lived in years in California. She's worked and lived in Germany, Australia, all over the shop. And now she has a business in California selling British-style McCartney tea to the Americans, and they love it. I don't think they've made it over here yet, but she is a character. As you will hear after midnight, we'll save that one up for you. We're just waiting to connect with Michelle here. I find, and it seems to have struck a chord with you too, this whole idea of parallel universes, all somehow melding into one another at the edges. And when they touch, when they coalesce, then you get what we would call ghosts or weird phenomena and all of the stuff that we talk about on that Sunday show. And I do apologize. I did say, as a mission statement at the top of all this, that we wouldn't do too much unexplained tonight, because, you know, we save that up for Sunday night. But that seems to be the direction you want to take it. And it's all about what you want to do, really. Things that I want to talk about after midnight include, and just have a think about this while you're listening to the Tarot Calls with Michelle Knight. What do you worry about? Now, this is a topic for after midnight, but it's one to think about now. Don't worry about it. It follows something that happened to me today that I'll tell you about when we get after midnight. So let's get into what we're supposed to be doing now. She is ready for us. Michelle Knight. How are you, Michelle? It's been years since we've talked.
Hello, my darling. I'm very well. In deepest, darkest Devon.
Whereabouts in Devon are you?
In the South Hams.
Oh, I know. You're near Salcombe. You lucky person.
Yes, it's amazing. Stunning.
How fab is that? Okay. And is that a good place to be doing sort of psychic-y, tarot-y things?
Yes. The water makes it flow. It's great. I mean, it's near Totnes, which is a centre for such things. Not that I go there very often. See, Totnes is like a posh grass nebbery.
No, I remember staying in a hotel in the country near there. And the one thing about being in that area, and those of us who live or were brought up in cities, I was brought up in a city and I've lived around or in cities all my life. But when you go to where you live and you throw open the window, the door, whatever, it's completely silent. All you can hear is the ringing of your ears if you've been brought up in a city.
Yeah, it's incredible.
All right, tell me your before we get the calls on to you, the tarot readings, tell me briefly about you then. How would you, because we did a radio show years ago together, but just describe what you are and what you do.
Okay, well, I like to say I was born with a pack of tarot in my hands, as my mother was a psychic and a tarot reader, so they were like my playthings, and I was fascinated by it all. I used to do readings in primary school. And then, obviously, you never want to be what your mother does. So I kind of shifted it. And I became interested, actually, in science and spirituality and blah, blah. Did a TV series called Housebusters in my mid-20s and could never escape my connection to wanting to empower people with the tarot in particular.
All right. We could talk a lot about the tarot, but it wouldn't be fair to all those people we've got queuing up to come on to you now. So I'm going to be minimally involved in this, and first of all, we're going to get Vicky in Swansea, West Wales on, and before we do any of this, got to say this, that we're offering this to you for entertainment purposes, as I say, on Sunday nights, and it is no less true now. It is not something that we want you to live your life by, and of course, if you need specific advice about a specific thing, please see a specialist in that area. Having said that, let's get our first caller on, Vicky in Swansea. Hello, Vicky.
Hi.
Hi, Vicky. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
What would you like to know? Is there a specific question you have for me?
Oh, do I? Oh, wow, I didn't realise that.
Tell me your date of birth so I can just link in with your energy.
My date of birth is the 26/11/1977.
Okay, I'll just see what comes up for you.
Okay, fab. Okay, yeah, I've had quite a tough 6 years, so I just want to kind of see where life is going, hopefully in the right direction.
Yeah, there's a lot of people around you who aren't talking to each other.
Okay.
And you tend to get in the middle, well, you feel it very intensely because you're very sensitive, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And particularly there's been a man that's been causing some problems for you over the years,
mm-hmm.
who is very cut off emotionally or, and actually because underneath that he probably is quite sensitive. So if he feels hurt in any way, he tends to attack and mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I can't deal with this. You know what I mean? But yet there's also been a very strong connection between you, you know? Lots of lessons learned. Anyway, in the immediate future, there's a big change coming for you, I feel, or the potential for change, where you're getting something that you wish for. And this summer could be one of the happiest summers you've had for the past 7 years.
Well,
and it's, you're rediscovering your dreams. You're very creative, actually, but I don't think you've been doing it for a while. There's lots of things, lots of skills that you've got that you're not using. And when everything clears and all the energy clears and you're sorting out your karma with that guy, it's like you're going forwards.
Fab.
So don't be drawn into the past.
No, stay away from it.
So could you relate to that?
Yes, I can. Spot on, actually.
Happy days. Well, it's looking good for you, darling.
Vicky, that sounds really good. And you know they say life begins at 40. It could well be it, couldn't it? Let us know what happens, will you? I always say that on
I
the
will.
Unexplained. Thank you, Vicky. Vicky in Swansea, we're going to get another call on to Michelle Knight here. This is Maggie. Another call from Stockport, South Manchester, Greater Manchester. Maggie, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
I'm very, very good. And Michelle is listening.
Fantastic. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Maggie. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Hope you are.
You've got a great voice. Mm. It resonates in a very creative way. And you're a very deep soul.
Yeah.
You were born an old soul, and I think even as a child, you sensed things that other people didn't. You had a deeper awareness. Is that true?
Yep, definitely.
And at the moment, well, actually, you're someone who likes to bring happiness to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very, either you do a lot of charity work or you're very compassionate and you put yourself out there to help people in particular. That's the thing that makes you tick.
Yeah.
And you do need to put some of that energy into you. I think you've been very worn out. Your energy's been low at certain points because of the outpouring of what you're giving. And at the moment, you have to make a choice about where you're going to put your energy. There's part of you that has a creative or artistic or a kind of wanting to share something, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Also, was there upheaval around someone younger than you? It could be a child or a younger person. It was like, it's quite tricky to deal with that situation. It brought up a lot of emotion.
Yeah.
And I won't go in too deeply into that because, you know, I'm on the radio, but you're coming to a breakthrough with that energy. And you're feeling as if something really negative is lifting. You should just be about feeling that now. And, you know, onwards, trust and believe in yourself and do the creative stuff. It heals you.
Fantastic, Gabriel.
Maggie, listen, my business is like radio and I've done voices all my life. I can always spot good voices and stuff. You want to use that voice. Have you ever thought of doing that?
No, never.
No, well, take it from one who knows. You've got to do it. And I'm not a psychic. All right, Maggie.
But you are a charmer.
Oh, there are those who may say. Maggie, thank you for that. If you want to get on to Michelle Knight, it's 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio. Howard Hughes here in for Ian Lee. Great privilege to be doing that. Big shoes to fill. Let's get to a lot of calls from the Northwest here. Kyle in Rochdale, you're on Talk Radio. Kyle, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Howard. Thank you.
Okay, now, Michelle Knight is listening. I'm going to make a policy of saying as little as I possibly can, which is unusual for me.
Okay. Oh, hi, Kyle.
Okay, thanks. Hi, Michelle.
Do you have a specific question? I just want me to have a poke about and general look at you.
Just a general poke about and a look. That'd be great.
Okay, let's have a little look. Okay, there's something around you that you have to deal with that you've been ignoring, and you know it's not good for you, okay? And it's like something you're drawn to, you get involved in, and then you feel a bit guilty about it. And you're coming to a crossroads with whatever that is that's kind of making you feel... Also, you're drawn into something. You know, we've all got our little vices, and there's something there that you're dealing with in the immediate future. And it's difficult because there was someone around you that lied to you or didn't tell you the full truth. And it's almost like you ignored your instincts, because you're very instinctual, told you this, but you ignored it. And I would say it may be someone who's... I don't like to do gender, but I think it's male and very strong, or if not, it's a very powerful woman. Also, there's an opportunity to transform things around work and career, and you're feeling... Again, you're not feeling as confident as you normally are, but that's going to change. And it's like all this stuff you're dealing with, but it's all coming up at once. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, no, that sounds quite true, that, to be honest with you, Michelle.
Good. And I think it's important. My best advice for you would be to, you've got to look it straight in the eye, and you've got to deal with it. You can't ignore it anymore. It's like you're ripping the blindfold off, seeing things clearly, and it brings you back to your power.
Okay, well, I'll try and be brave and give that a go then.
Good luck, right. Kyle, and thanks very much for your call, 03444991000. This is Talk Radio. Michelle Knight in Devon, in the South Ams, near not far from Salcombe, is on to us now. Michelle, just tell me this quickly before we get to our next caller, Emma, in another place that I worked in Hereford. While you're talking to the people, and it's going to be Emma next that we're talking with, you're actually dealing out the tarot cards and laying them on a table. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Right.
So basically, for me to connect, I mean, I love doing it over the telephone because you can't see the person, mm-hmm. so you have no outside influence. You can't see if they've got a wedding ring on, you can't see, you know, what they look like or what they dress like. You've got this very, very pure vibrational connection. And then, so firstly I tune into their voice, and then I just start pulling the cards and I flow with what I see.
So it is the purest form of this kind of reading. Okay, Emma in Hereford, reminds me of my old Wyvern days back in that area. How are you tonight, Emma?
I'm okay, thank you.
This is all good. So Michelle is listening to you. I'm going to shut my mouth and we'll take it from here.
All right.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Michelle. Hello.
Hi, can you tell me your date of birth and just say something so I connect with your voice?
It's the 13th of June, 1974.
And do you have a specific question, or just want me to generally look in?
I've got a couple of questions.
Great.
Because I've just spoken to... we have a friend in common, Alice.
Oh, American Alice.
American Alice, yes. I did meet you some time ago at her wedding. I just thought I should say that.
Oh, it's not ringing a bell. But in fact, the less you tell me, the better. If you just go straight in.
All right.
Question.
Okay. I'm having a lot of quite painful and acrimonious issues with my family.
Do you know what? Don't tell me. Can I go in? Because when I heard your voice initially, I was picking up a lot of stuff around, like, the energy in your family, particularly connected to a mother or something to do with a mother, even if she's not around. And
yes.
That's the thing that I felt before you said anything, actually, and before I turned a card. Now I've turned a card. That's why I love the tarot. First card I got was doubt. And it's two of swords, so... In the picture, it's somebody holding two swords with their arms crossed and they're blindfolded.
Yeah.
And after that, I got the Empress, which is the mother card. So that's quite extraordinary. And then I've just pulled another card for you, and it's the Ten of Cups. But you know what? It feels like... And also, somebody's argued about money. Money plays... Money and the energy of money and power in your family is a little bit twisted, if you don't mind me saying.
It is. It absolutely is. You're right.
And that's what causes the problem. So I've got here the Ace of Swords reversed. And it's almost like people aren't being honest, because the Ace of Swords is also the Sword of Truth. And that's upside down. But what's interesting is sometimes it's okay and everything's fine and you're lulled into a false sense of security.
Yeah.
And then it all goes, you know, reversed. But there's a lot of grieving and there's a lot of work to be done. I don't think anyone's being honest. And, you know, I could feel, even when you're talking, and I wonder if, interesting, if the other listeners can hear that, it's like you're around your throat area, you know, it's like you're, you feel very tight. It's like you're so holding on to your truth. And there's a lot of vulnerability there.
Yeah.
Say again?
Yeah. There is a lot of pain at the moment around the situation with my daughter and my family, who she lives with, basically.
Oh, okay, so you're the mother as well. So the motherhood is not...
I'm the mother, but because of things that have happened, my daughter lives with my family.
Right. We can't go too much into that, but let me just pull to see what, you know, for you, how to express yourself to help resolve the situation. And what I'm getting here is the Lover's card, but I don't necessarily think it means a relationship. I think it means getting your passion back for life.
Yeah.
And doing what you've got to do to resolve things for you. Also, last thing, I see you moving or going, or someone else in your family moving, and you being very happy about that, and there's victory there.
Okay, because that was actually my other question that I'd written down was I am considering moving and for a fresh start, and I wanted
100%.
To know. Well, that might be a good idea.
You have to do what you want to do, but if you were asking, the three cards that came up were the four of wands, which is a move, and then you had victory, and then you had the page of cups. So I'm glad that was... are you calling from America, then?
No, Hereford.
Oh, Hereford. Yeah. Well, all right. I send you so much love, and
thank
I hope
you.
That helped you a little bit.
Emma, I hope that was good for you. It sounds complicated, and you know you have my best wishes and our best wishes here with all of it. Let's take some commercials right now. If you want to call Michelle Knight doing tarot readings for you here on Talk Radio with me, Howard Hughes, you can do that. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
No-nonsense discussion.
Howard Hughes.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We can go on together with suspicion.
When I arrived tonight, they said Elvis had left the building. Clearly not true. just a reminder, Michelle Knight is here. We're doing tarot readings for you. Of course, we offer this as entertainment. Please do not live your life by any of this stuff, but then I know you won't. And, you know, just take it for general guidance. And if you have specific issues on specific difficulties, then, of course, consult a specialist in those areas. Those things we must say, partly because they're just common sense. Let's get to another call then. I'm going to say as little as possible this hour. Next hour, don't forget, Angie McCartney, the auntie of Paul McCartney, is on direct from Los Angeles. All being well, let's get to Gavin in Bishop Stortford, Hertfordshire. Gavin, hello.
Hello, good evening.
So, Michelle, Gavin, meet Michelle. Gavin, meet Michelle.
Hello,
and
Michelle.
Vice versa.
Hi, Gavin.
How's it going?
Very, very good.
Marvellous.
Have you got your date of birth, or do you have a question? Is there
yeah,
anything?
You can, I'll give my date of birth, 1st of the 4th, 1978.
Right. Any question?
There is a woman.
Okay, don't say any more. No more information.
Sorry, seriously, what?
I'll see what comes up. First card I got is the Lover's card. And then I got the Ace of Pentacles. In your life, actually, you haven't put relationships first, ironically, even though, you know, this is on your mind now. And you've been very self-protective. And maybe in some ways you've been a little bit fearful of intimacy. Now, that's a full-on thing for me to say. And at first you might go, no, you know, I'm open. But you've got to look at some of your choices in terms of your relationships in the past.
Think it's something in the past with intimacy rather than in the present?
Yes. I think that you had a lot of blocks around you, and you live your life in a different way to how you are now. And you're still evolving, you're still growing, you're still changing.
Okay.
It's interesting, because this is quite... You're quite a complex and complicated creature. And on the one hand, I love complex. Nothing wrong with complex.
I'm bored of myself. Please don't tell me I'm interesting. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm the most boring person you could ever meet.
Well
we'll be the judge of that, Gavin.
Yeah.
I bore the socks off somebody that had too many socks.
No. This is what I meant. Well, you need to get over. You need to start loving yourself and knowing that you're lovable. You know, that will really help shift it. And it's interesting because you are like two people. You're the King of Swords on the one hand, which is quite detached, yeah? But underneath that, you're the Page of Cups. You know, you're quite childlike. You're quite innocent. You're quite open. But it's like in the past, you've been quite cynical. So it's almost like you need to bring these two sides of yourself together.
That's absolutely incredible.
And, you know, you're heading towards something, which is a meeting of equals. I don't know... I'll see if it becomes clearer to me in a minute. I don't know if it's this woman or the next one, but there is, you've got this kind of, I hate to use the word soulmate because it causes so many problems for people.
No, I know that you can take that in many different ways. Yeah.
So I would say this, which I think is a much healthier way to say it. It's more like a past life connection. You know, when you meet someone and energetically you think, I know you on a very deep level.
Yeah, man.
And I have to say, in my experience, those relationships can be the most tricky when you meet someone and it's just like you know that you feel their soul, you know them, and it feels like just very intense.
I think and sometimes it's like you've done it all before, but you want to do it all again.
Yeah. But, you know, the kid, you have the power to change your energy. By changing your energy, the relationship will not stay the same, because it can't, because you will be different. And I think it is about you believing in yourself more, trusting in yourself, loving yourself, and finding yourself more interesting, you know. But it's almost like you're frightened.
That's really helpful. Thank you, is all I can say.
Right. In the past, it's almost like you didn't want anyone to get too close to you, in case maybe they thought you were boring, you know what I mean, or had the same opinion of you that you have of you. So that's
I'm just bored with myself, really.
Yeah, but, you know, we can work... What people don't realise a lot of the time, and when I realised it, it changed my life, okay, is that if we think something, it's true, yeah? So you're like, I'm bored with myself. You can transform your relationship with yourself, and that in turn will transform your life. And I believe you're on that journey, because that's what I'm seeing in front of me. So I wish you all the best.
The cards don't lie, man.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got the power. I'm empowering you.
Yeah, honestly, just thank you. And I believe.
All right, I'll send you lots of love.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Gavin, thank you for that. And listen, take it from one who knows, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. And, you know, that's the first step, really. You've got to appreciate what you are. It's damned hard, because there are lots of people in this world who are going to want to put you down. They don't want to nurture you. They want you to be down. But you've got to believe in yourself, and you sound fine. So, Gavin, go forth and do great things, and come back to us and tell us what happened, because I, for one, would be very keen to know. Michelle, just a quick question before we go to B in Bracknell, in the Royal County of Berkshire tonight. The cards, how much of it is what the pictures pictorially tell you on the cards, and how much of it is your intuition about what you're seeing on the cards? Is it 50-50?
Well, this is why I love the tarot, because everybody can do it and get something out of it. I grew up in a psychic household. I am psychic. So sometimes, like, for instance, you know, when one of the ladies was talking to me, I already got it, you know what I mean? And then I pulled the cards and it literally was confirmed. I was like, I love that, you know? So yes, but what people do, let's say if you're not in touch with your psychic ability, is they might turn the cards and then they over-intellectualize or analyze them. You have to build a relationship with the cards, yeah? And so you learn them, so read a great book, fine, but basically it's what that card will say to you. It will have its own language for you, and it's about learning that language. But, yeah, they work. I mean, you know, amazing.
And is it true that Christian Dion, who's on my Sunday night show quite often, and I've known him for 3 decades...
I worked with him, or he was on...
Well, he was on London Radio years and years ago, and that's one of the ways that I first met him. But he is amazing, and he started by doing tarot, which he did for me when I think I was 22.
Yeah.
But he said to me, and I never had the chance to prove it or check it out, he said, if I deal these cards, I'm doing his voice now, if I deal these cards for you a second time, I'm always going to pick much the same cards. Because is that how it works?
Well, that happens all the time, and statistically... It's not possible, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So, yeah, that happens a lot.
It's amazing. I will have a lot of respect for tarot readers. Let's get to another call. Maggie in Dumfries, from Dumfries and Galloway in Scotland.
Hi there. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Maggie.
You sound very bright, Maggie.
Well, I wonder if Michelle can help me with a bit of a career problem. I'm a writer. I've had 3 publishers interested in my children's book, Michelle. I'm a Gemini. But so far, delays in contract. I wonder if you could help me with that.
Yeah, I feel that you've been doing this for a long time, right?
I have, yes.
And I feel that you've got to work on the energy with you. It's almost like you can't believe that this is going to happen in the way that it is.
Probably, that's probably true, actually, yes.
And so you're like, you know, the power of your belief is getting in your own way, because everybody's saying yes, and then it's going forward.
Right.
And I just think you need to let go a little bit and trust.
Okay.
Because it's just something you want so much.
You get a bit nervous, don't you, when you've had, like, interest.
Well, you've been let down in the past, actually. You had a great belief in another project in the past.
Yes.
And when that didn't happen, I feel almost like you became a hermit. You stopped...
This is true, yeah.
You stopped... Don't sound so surprised. You stopped interacting with people in the same way.
Yeah.
And I think there's almost like, you know, some part of your mind is going, oh, you know, look what happened last time when it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
All that. To one side, you know, get yourself a smudge stick, which is a Native American Indian white sage, and do something symbolic. Do
just to waft away all of those fears. And then I've got for you, oh, these are really interesting cards coming up now, because I was getting things like the Five of Pentacles, emotional poverty, and the Hermit in the past. Mm-hmm. And you put yourself under tremendous pressure. There's something else you do which feels like a big responsibility.
That's true. Yeah.
Right. And that takes, you have to be, almost like you have to be very intellectual or very normal or very straightforward in the other thing.
Yes.
And then you go wild and free when you create your brilliant, I would imagine, fantasy world. Because these cards I'm getting, you've got the Magician and the Fool, which is exactly what I was saying. You have to have your faith that you created the reality. There it is. You've written your world, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you've given birth to it. Now you have to let it go.
Okay.
And, you know, be the Fool. I would even consider leaping into your next project, which you've already got in your mind.
I've actually started it, Michelle.
I was about to say, but...
Yes,
I could see, like, maybe three pages or three chapters, but it's all there. Focus on that. Let it go. Yeah. Trust. There's nothing you can do. You have to, you have to just allow it to happen.
Okay.
And keep putting it out there. And, again, it's about you... Look... let's say worst case scenario, right? It's always quite good to look at worst case scenario. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean your book isn't going to get discovered and you'll be, you know, world famous when you're long gone. You know, your book is good and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Don't invest your self-worth in it because it's one of many brilliant projects you're going to do. But I believe it will go forward, but you do the work, you know what I mean? The inner
thanks,
work.
Thanks, Michelle.
Oh, I've just pulled one last card for you.
Oh, thanks, Michelle.
And it's the Ace of Wands, or Rods, however you want to see, which is, you know, fabulous. It's passion, fire, achievement.
This is great, Maggie. This sounds really good.
Thank you.
I just wonder, and Maggie, don't go anywhere just yet, but Michelle, what do you think? With anything creative, and I've known this in my career with the various things that I've done in radio and around it, that the more you worry about a thing...
Maggie. Get anxious, yeah.
And the more... it's like my mother used to have a saying. She'd say, how would you like a dog with a bone? And she'd say, let go of the bone, because the more you worry the bone, the less anything is going to happen. So I'd be saying, I haven't heard from those people. They said they were going to give me a gig.
And you focus on it, don't you? You focus on it.
You do. And the more that you... I mean, this is, you know... anecdotal. It's not scientifically proved, but I believe that it works. The more that you worry at a thing, the more that you say, I haven't got that project, it hasn't happened, it should have happened. Mm-hmm. When you turn your back and you stop, I'm sorry, Michelle, I'm encroaching on your territory.
No, I love it, I love it.
But when you turn your back on it and you stop, trust me, in this crazy life that I lived, that is when the things happen.
Yeah.
So there. Sorry,
Michelle's right about starting a new project. You've kind of got to let the old one go and start on the new book as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And have faith.
Right. What sort of books, by the way, Maggie? You didn't say.
I do children's books.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I do. And I'm also a single mum, so it's busy, busy. Yeah.
Okay. Do you illustrate those?
I actually don't. I don't draw them myself, no.
Okay. No, I knew a great children's book illustrator whose name is also Maggie, if you're listening tonight, Maggie. But it's a great art. They are the hardest, the simplest things that you write are the hardest things to write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think. Anyway, for kids. But what do I know about anything?
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you so much.
Oh, my absolute pleasure.
And Maggie, thank you very much. And Michelle, I'm sorry for stamping all over your toes there, but it just strikes me that this is a weird life that we live. And sometimes people, they get themselves all wound up about stuff.
That's true.
And sometimes you just got to let it go.
Joyfully, as you get older, it becomes less. Like, right now, this minute, there's a meeting going on that I can't really talk about too much about in America. And if something, the most massive thing that's ever happened to me in my life is being discussed at the moment, and it could be fabulous. So, but I'm not like thinking, oh, you know, I'm here being present in what I'm doing. So, and whichever way it goes, it doesn't define who I am. You know what I mean? Life is a fabulous adventure.
Mm.
And sometimes, and in fact, something I nearly got, and it was right on the desk of lawyers, didn't happen last year. And I praise the universe for that not happening, because otherwise this wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
And that's always happened to me. And when you learn to let go, you get bigger and bigger gifts. I really believe that.
Mm. Well, I just think sometimes you'll think a thing, if you're a creative person, you'll think it's the end of the world, and it won't be. You know, I, like you with an American project, I was involved in an American project a couple of years ago, and it looked like I would be doing a show like my Sunday show, but in America. from America and principally for America. And for one reason or another, it was mostly because I didn't have the money to put into it myself, which I kicked myself for years. It didn't happen. But other things happen. So, you know, life is a strange old business. It's a game of 2 hours. And
yeah, but it's a lot like relationships, actually. A lot of people hang on to the wrong relationship through absolute fear. And then, you know, when they finally leave and they meet the person that's right for them, or even might be the third or fourth person along the way, then they're like, oh, my goodness, I should have let go years ago.
Ah, but that's another thing that we don't have time to talk about. But I wanted to, you know, how do you let go of something, whether it's a relationship or a job? Letting go is sometimes harder than starting something new.
Well, then you must all, anybody in that position, study the Fool in the Tarot, because the Fool is all about, you know, taking a leap of faith. And very rarely, I believe, you call me naive, that leaps of faith go wrong. I think they're very powerful magic.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, B in Bracknell in the Royal County of Berkshire, a place very close to my heart. B, I'm sorry we kept you waiting, but Michelle Knight is listening to you. Thank you for coming on.
That's absolutely fine, Howard. My name is Bea.
Bea, sorry, Bea.
A for Echo, A for Alpha. Hi, Michelle. It's lovely to talk to you finally.
Oh, hello. You've got lovely, loving, warm energy. I like that.
Thank you.
How can I help you? Do you have a specific question? Oh, can I have your date of birth vaguely, or just the first two bits?
I can give you my date of birth if you like. It's 10th of February, 1971.
Okay, brilliant. And do you have a specific question?
Yes, please. If possible, it's regarding a job situation for my husband. If you can give me, you know, an opinion or some guidance, that would be much appreciated.
Okay, well, I pulled the card as you were talking. And I just feel that there's been a lot of stagnation in that area, but there's potential around it. So all is not as it seems. Firstly, I've got the Hanged Man. The Hanged Man is a very interesting card because it means, to a certain extent, I believe a situation is in limbo. There's a lot of energy around it, but nothing is happening right this second. And I believe he's very hard working. He's worked very hard in his life. And, you know, he's at this point now where there may be change, but I don't believe it's yet. And also, we can't talk about legal things, but there may be another contract or something going on. But he's, in a way, I don't think he's very good at handling things to do with change or to do with confronting things, even confronting his own emotions. And I don't know if you can help him with that. But you've got the Judgment card here. So there is a breakthrough, but in a way, I think you have to allow things to be, even if it's uncomfortable, to wait for that breakthrough and examine all the kind of negativity blocks, the sense of injustice that's around it. Because there's also this card here, which is the Seven of Pentacles, which is about everything being there, you already having everything you need in some way, and it's about waiting for something that's more than that. So I hope that makes sense to you. Can I pull a card on you?
Yes, please.
Let's have a look at you. It's funny because you're quite a private person, so I'm quite surprised you're on the radio. So that was a brave choice.
I'm surprised myself, to be honest. It took a lot of courage.
You're doing well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're amazing. You're very good at holding people together. And there was a woman that you felt very let down by. And you don't show it on your face. Well, me, I'm an Aries. I show everything on my face. But you're like, if somebody betrays you or hurts you, you don't show any reaction. Do you know what I mean?
True.
And you don't react in a way. And you've been sort of healing from the past where you felt let down by a woman. And you're moving into a period which is quite good. I've got the Star here, which is fabulous because it's inspiration and healing. And a celebration within 10 months. So fingers crossed for that.
Thank you. Yeah, we need some celebrations after all.
Yeah, well, I would say before October. And that sounds like a long way away, but it's a big celebration.
Wonderful.
So I hope that you found it helpful. I send you lots of good vibes.
Can I ask just a quick question, Michelle?
It's got to be really quick, Bea.
Very quick. Is with regards to a property that we are putting until next month, do you see this going through or not? Just say yes or not, that'll do absolutely fine.
It's complicated. It's going to take much longer. I think yes, eventually, but at least 4 months. It could be 4 weeks.
Okay.
Many thank you.
Bea, thank you in Bracknell, Berkshire, and I hope it goes well. Sounds another complicated situation there, but Bea clearly not used to doing this kind of thing, so took an awful lot of gathering herself together to do this, amazing. Which is great. Michelle, listen, I know from my friendship of years with Christian Dion, and he's done this, doing what you're doing right now, it sounds really easy to people listening to it because the words just flow from you like a stream down a mountainside, which is a bad way of putting it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sounds easy, takes it out of you. Would you be all right, because we've got people queuing up to talk to you, to go to midnight with us?
It's another
quarter of an hour. Thank you very much
for
that. And one thing to say just before we get to some commercials here on Talk Radio, what is your website so people can go and look at that?
Oh, and I do free automated tarot readings on there as well. So it's michellenight.com, Michelle with one L.
Technology even in tarot, eh? Okay,
yeah.
Michelle Knight here.
It's amazing.
It sounds it. I'm going to have to look at this myself. Michelle Knight here in South Devon tonight in the South Hams, taking your calls, tarot readings from her. We've got another quarter of an hour or thereabouts. It's 0344 499 with me, Howard Hughes, on Talk Radio.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
McCartney's auntie, by the way, is on in the next hour. Angie McCartney, about her life in Los Angeles, and she's had an amazing life. Plus, we'll be talking with you about whatever you want to talk with. It's been a blast. Thank you very much for being there for me tonight. First time I've done this. Howard Hughes in for Ian Lee. Michelle Knight is in the South Hams in Devon, doing tarot readings for as many of you as we can get on. So let's get on to Ryan, who's calling us tonight. Where are you, Ryan?
I'm in Horsham.
Okay, in Sussex. Okay, so Michelle in Devon, meet Ryan in Sussex.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Michelle.
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Good. What's your date of birth?
March 8th, 91.
Okay, and do you have something specific you want me to look at?
Not really. I just thought we could have a little sort of deal.
Okay, let's have a look. You're much stronger than you think you are. Sometimes you doubt your own strength. You feel that, like, I think there's something that you feel disappointed by at the moment, and you feel that it's kind of slightly devastating. You might not talk about your emotions in that way, but internally you're like, oh, I feel a bit gutted about that. But I believe it's not as bad as you think. I believe that there's something, that there's other harmony and good things around you that are going to compensate for that. But you've got your barriers up at the moment. Are you like somebody that doesn't trust easily anyway?
No, I do trust. I do trust people. Yeah.
So is this a specific situation where you feel that you have to be a bit self-protective? Might not even be, like, it feels like it's definitely around you and you're definitely observing this and it's kind of weighing you down.
Work sort of thing at the minute, but
I wouldn't worry about it too much. You're going to make some quite sweeping changes, I would say by August, and also there's going to be a change connected to your work where I feel that somebody's leaving or going or moving position, and it makes your life a lot easier.
Sounds good.
And then you feel that you can relax a bit more because the person is very once they make a decision, there's no discussion. And
okay,
that for you is difficult. Anyway, life is moving on. There's also a very deep connection with someone coming up. I don't know if it's someone around you now or like immediate future, but it's going to be very interesting for you to have that connection.
Hello? Ryan, you're very quiet.
Yeah. Sorry.
Maybe I'm going too deep for Ryan.
I mean, you may just be stunned by the reading. I don't know.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. It's spot on.
I know. I don't know, but it feels like it. It feels like it's coming through very clearly. Anyway, you're building up a new life for yourself, but you can't do everything you want to do just yet.
Don't be impatient. You're on a very interesting journey. So I hope you found that helpful.
I did, very much so. And Howard Hughes, can I just say, when you did the thing on the shadow people, I connected with that, and I was like, oh my God, that's what it was.
Really? Okay, well, we have to talk about that on the Sunday show, because this, strictly speaking, this is not unexplained. But no, it's fine, it's cool, we must do that. So call us back on Sunday when we do the unexplained, and we need to be getting into that, because more and more people around this world, from what I read, say that they've experienced this phenomenon of shadow people. So, you know, you're one of those people. Thank you, Ryan, very much. Okay, let's get another call on. Michelle in Southampton. Michelle, you're on to Michelle.
Oh, hello, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Are you one or two L's?
Two L's.
All right. And what's your date of birth?
15th of June, 71.
Okay. Have you got something specific, or you just want me to have a look?
Health, really. What you find about my... What you can...
Unfortunately, we can't do health.
Can't do health. Sorry,
okay,
Michelle.
Okay. Just do general, then.
Okay. There's, somebody's been quite supportive around you at the moment, who's really a very strong... loving force around you, but sometimes you don't feel it because you're caught up in your own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman around you who needs to be acknowledged for being supportive. You might sometimes argue with each other, you know, and it's like familiarity can breed contempt. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's irritating, but that woman really loves you and only wants to help you.
Right.
So just show the love.
Yeah.
And although, yes, of course, everybody's irritating sometimes. you've got a lot of opportunities and offers coming to you that you're going to find very helpful. And then I see you feeling much stronger in yourself, which is important for you.
Right.
There's also a man connected to your family who you felt very, let you down in some way, you felt very sensitive about. In fact, I don't know if you're still in a relationship with that person or it's the past, but it's like, everything they said sort of poked a button in you, and that took a lot out of you. That kind of changed the way that you saw things. But you've got the Magician here, so, you know, there are positive changes coming, fingers crossed, and a lot of love and support around you. So I hope you found that helpful.
Sounds good, Michelle.
Interesting times ahead.
Yes, the Magician is a great card. I love the Magician because it means we get to a point where we can transform our reality.
Right, okay.
And we feel our power. You know,
right.
Sure that we're able to do that, and then it just happens effortlessly. You know, sometimes you slog away for change, nothing happens, and it's like, boom, it's the beginning of a new chapter. The number of the Magician is one, you know, it's a new beginning.
Right, good.
All right, Michelle. Well, listen, I've said this to a few people, but it applies to everybody who's been on tonight. If in the fullness of time this, you know, definitely comes to pass and applies to you, and, you know, it all works out like that, let me know, will you? Because it's just useful for me to know. And I'm sure Michelle would like to know, too.
Yeah,
of course.
All right. Thank you, Michelle, in Southampton. I mean, is there such a... I know that, you know, if we go and buy something, a washing machine, whatever, you can review it on Trustpilot. Do you get feedback from people about what you've done for them? Do they contact you and say, dead on?
Yeah, all the time. I'll tell you what, I had an amazing experience, if I can tell you just quickly. I was in America quite a lot this year, and I was staying. I got my ticket, so it wasn't like I was intending to be in this particular place. I booked the wrong ticket. I'd done two outgoing instead of the return, so I had to stay an extra week. So I wasn't intending to be in the Big Sur. But I was, and with my partner, Kathy. And she's a filmmaker and a director, and she makes these amazing videos for my astrology videos. Anyway, it's this really sort of posh hotel overlooking the sea, amazing, beautiful. And someone was getting married there. And the next morning, Kathy came out, and this woman came running up to her and said, oh, my God, I love your work, and if it wasn't for you and Michelle, I wouldn't be getting married. And she was, like, crying, and she said that and actually, this is the free stuff, all the astrology videos and the stuff that I write literally changed her life. And she was crying, and she couldn't believe that I was actually at her wedding. She gave me her wedding flowers, and we're still in touch now. But that was...
That was a case of you being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine that she felt that, and she wrote me a lovely letter. And then she sees me randomly on her wedding day in the restaurant. I mean, you know, it was a beautiful synchronicity, which I'll never forget. It was, that made my day.
But that, as they say, is the process of this weird life that we lead. Just time for one more call. If we couldn't get you on tonight, I'm really, really sorry. We've got as many on as we can, and Michelle will be back with us soon, I'm sure. Let's get on to Nicola now. Nicola, where are you?
I'm in Buckinghamshire.
Okay, Nicola in Bucks, meet Michelle. You've got 2 minutes.
Hi, Nicola. Have you got a quick question since we've only got 2 minutes, or should I just look?
If you could look, that'd be lovely. Thank you.
What's your date of birth?
1st of August.
Okay. There's a situation around you that's very unclear, but I think within 3 days, no, maybe 7 days, you're going to get the clarity that you need, and you're going to have to act very spontaneously when you get the information. And don't hold on to anger. There was someone that you've been angry with, yeah? And when you're angry, you hold it in. Well, I'm sure you let it out as well, but it actually affects the way that you think, the way you sleep and everything else. But you've got 7 days before this change that you're looking for, and there's an opportunity there, and everything shifts all at once.
Gosh, that sounds good.
Fingers crossed for that, but, you know, take the leap of faith when the situation arises, because whatever the situation is, you're going to have to think very quickly on your feet.
Okay, thank you.
All right, darling, good luck with that.
That sounds good.
Thank
it's all
going
to happen really quickly. Nicola, thank you very much for being our last call. And like I said, if we were not able to get to your call, I'm sorry about that. You know, the fact is that when Michelle, I mean, this is a hallmark of your success, really, isn't it, Michelle? When you go on these phone-ins and stuff, and when you go on the telly, people just want to talk to you.
Well, I feel very humbled, but as I say, there's lots of, you could do loads of free readings on my website, so pop there and hopefully that'll give you amazing synchronicity and advice.
And it's all automated, apparently, you tell me.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and you must know about this, it's like random, it's synchronicity. And I've had extraordinary, when I go on there and do my own Celtic cross and this, that and the other, it's like spot on about my present situation. Mm. I don't know how it works in that way, but I truly believe in the power of synchronicity and magic and getting the right symbolic message at the right time.
Mm. And, you know, for a lot of people, the problem is that a lot of people, they want answers in their life, and they want them right now, they want them yesterday. And sometimes things don't work that way.
No, and often, again, what I've learned along the way, is that when we change ourselves, you know, that is power, that is magic. We change the way that we think, like, you know, a situation where all of us are programmed to do the same thing over and over, which is why we can drive a car without really thinking about it. Mm. You know, our brain is programmed like that. And when we change a pattern, it has huge ramifications.
Oh, yes. We could talk a lot about that, too. Michelle Knight, listen, I know that must have been an exhausting hour. Thank you very much. I hope I can talk with you again. Your website is michellenight.com if you want to look at what Michelle does. And thank you, Michelle, from the bottom of my heart for being
really
part of this.
Really enjoyed it. Speak to you soon.
Thank you, Michelle. Michelle Knight, in the next hour, it is not going to be necessarily unexplained. Anything you want to talk about, we can chew around here. So if you want to come on in the next hour, has been something on your mind, I'll chuck out a couple of ideas if you want. It's 0344-499-1000. It's Howard Hughes in for Ian Lee for one night only on this Friday night into very nearly into Saturday morning. And in the next hour, apart from taking your calls, we're going to talk with Paul McCartney's auntie, who I used to speak to a lot on the radio in Liverpool. She is such a character and has such an amazing life story. Her backstory is just remarkable on its own. So Angie McCartney and your calls in the next hour here, only on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
Fagan, can we just fade it up at this bit here? This is great. You're going to love this. Listen to this.
WJAZ.
the foot of Mount Belzoni, if only. That is all about talk radio. And I mean talk radio in the, you know, as I say, the broadest sense of the word. Donald Fagen, if you've never heard that album, I've got three copies of that album because I'm a saddo. And it's got fantastic songs on it like that. The album is called The Night Fly. It was released in 1985. And that there song sums up what it was like for somebody in the golden days of American AM talk radio to sit there through the night, probably with a cigarette going in those days because it was like that kind of era. With a couple of great big record decks, massive great things with arms that looked like elephants' trunks, and the lighting low, and a clock in front of you so you could get to the network news, and you've just got to talk to people. If anything summed up the state of the art and what it was like, and if you want to know what that looked like, what was that movie, the Clint Eastwood movie, about the woman who stalked, Play Misty for Me. Watch Play Misty for Me. And you'll see what that's all about. I'm sorry, I'm just going off on one now, because I can. I would want to take your calls about anything in this hour up to 1 o'clock when Martin Kellner is here. Well, another one of my radio heroes. I've met George Galloway tonight, and Martin Kellner after me. They are spoiling me here. You know, it's just a very rare appearance, so I'm going to enjoy it. You do too. Your calls, 0344 499 1000. But first, let's get on somebody I haven't spoken to for probably 8 or 9 years. And I was lucky enough to be introduced to her when I did some... I spent my life filling in for other people. I'm always the bridesmaid and never the bride. Isn't that just the way of it? But at least life is full of variety, I think is what I'm saying. I met Angie McCartney on the radio in Liverpool, and I vowed if I could possibly do it, I would get her onto a show that I was doing somewhere else. Angie, how nice to talk with you in California.
Hello, darling. You're still the bridesmaid.
I'm still a bridesmaid, can't you tell? But, you know, I'm working.
I always loved you in that frock. Really suit you. It's down to the ground.
Well, it's the pink that
is
does it.
It's really 8 or 9 years since we talked.
It is. And we used to turn down the lights.
Oh, my God. I was only 80 then. Just a mere child. I'm 80, nearly 89 now.
You're not.
I flaming well am.
Holy moly. And you're still working, aren't you? You've got your business.
Oh,
we'll
God,
talk
yeah.
about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing that we got through all of this in Liverpool because everybody knew there, but you're Paul McCartney's auntie, right?
No, I'm his stepmother.
Stepmother. Right. Okay, I don't know where I go.
Paul's dad. Paul's mum died when he was 14.
Right.
And I was a widow with a 4-year-old child, Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Jim. And we got married, and he adopted Ruth and legally gave her his name. So she's Ruth McCartney, and she's his stepsister. And she's now 58 years old, and I'm 88 years old.
Holy moly. And all of this goes back...
A lot of water under the bridge since then, eh?
Well, all of this goes back to a Liverpool that was a very different place. I mean, this is the era when my mum and dad were getting together, getting married, and all the rest of it. You know, it was a totally different environment.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I know, but Liverpool's still a great city.
You know, people say, when you or I say Liverpool's a great city, the one thing that people always come back with is, if it's so great, why did you leave? And that goes for me as well as you.
Okay, the weather is a good start. I live in Southern California.
Well, I can't say I do that. But you know, in terms of Paul, do you have a lot of contact with Paul these days? Do you hear from him?
No, not much at all. Mm. He's all over the world, as you know.
Yeah, no, I know.
And, Ruth and I settled in Southern California some years ago, and we run a multimedia business. And I run a little tea company and a little wine company. And we donate from all the sales to the Linda McCartney Breast Cancer Centre in Liverpool.
Right.
So that keeps that connection going. And I still talk to Pete Price every week on the radio.
Okay, in another place, in another time, far away. I mean, you're national now, you know. I've got you across the nation this time.
Oh, am I really?
You are. You are from Perth.
Oh, I might go viral, mightn't I?
Well, I think there's every chance of it. You're from Perth to, you're from
really
Perth to Plymouth. Well, sorry?
Hmm?
Oh, no, you're just exclaiming at the wonder of it all. I see what you're saying.
So absolutely, yeah.
There's a bit of a delay between the pair of us, but we worked it out before. We'll work it out again. Your story, though, in the days when I used to talk with you about, we mostly talked about Liverpool, but we'll talk about other stuff here. Your life story is absolutely stunning, really. It starts...
Do you think so?
Of course, I've got...
You know, when it's your own life, you don't see it. You know, from the inside, it's just boring old me.
But... it starts with being a box office clerk at the Royal Court Theatre in Liverpool, which is the place where Ken Dodd used to play all the time.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I actually worked at the Royal Court Theatre. I think, was it, let me think. Oh, yes, the night that the war ended, May the 8th, 1945, which incidentally was the day that Gary Glitter was born, but maybe we won't go there.
Well, I prefer not to talk about that. But
that's another story.
What was it like then, there? You know, back, I can, you know, I wasn't around, of course, at that time, but I'm just trying to think of a city like Liverpool that had been so much a part of the war because we'd had the convoys going out from there and so many people suffered. You know, Liverpool was right at the heart of it, plus Liverpool got bombed to hell during the war. What was it like being
there? It sure did. Well, when I was 11, I used to go to St. Teresa's School in Norris Green. And when I was 11, Hitler's nightly bombing started seriously. And every night, we were in the aero shelter by about 4 in the afternoon when the sirens went off. And we were there until maybe 7 or 8 in the morning. And I didn't go to school after the age of 11 because all the people whose houses were bombed went to live and sleep in St. Teresa's School. So I only went to school like a half a day a week to somebody's house in Ackenbury Close in Norris Green. I remember it clearly because we used to have to take a halfpenny, which was a half a penny each, to this lady to put in their gas meter to keep the room warm that we sat in and met our teacher once a week for half an hour.
God,
and that was the extent of my schooling, so thank God for Google.
And as my mum used to say, if the kids today heard that, they wouldn't believe it.
They wouldn't. Oh, you were lucky.
But your life story, you know, is a bit, I mean, you say it isn't, but it is. I mean, you ended up working, as many people, including my own mother, did for a while. You worked for Littlewoods, of course, national company based in Liverpool.
Yes, I did indeed. Yep.
And then you got married to, as you said, the late Jim McCartney, the father of Paul.
Well, my first husband, Eddie Williams, was killed in a car crash.
Right.
When Ruth was 2, and then I got married to Jim 2 years later. Mm.
And, of course, the Beatles at that point.
Yes.
The Beatles were massive at that time, so you must have known that you were marrying into a sort of dynasty, as they say there.
Yes, sort of. It was a bit crazy. And Paul had bought Jim a lovely house, Rembrandt, on the Wirral in Gayton, which Paul still
very
owns.
Posh there, yeah.
Very posh, yeah. I mean, they have grapes on the sideboard when nobody's ill. That kind of posh.
I've heard that. So,
yeah, I know, I bet you have.
Sadly, Jim died in 76, and that was your
cue, really,
to get doing the globe-trotting that you did.
Yeah, well, yes. Well, it's, you know, hasn't done me any harm. I don't believe in retirement. It doesn't work for me. Retirements and funerals are two things I don't do.
Well, that's two of us.
I'm not having a funeral when I finally pop off.
What are you going to do?
Going to get me cremated and stick me on top of the piano and have a party.
Okay. I went to a, what do they call it? Not a desperado. It's called something. It's a bunch of people who believe in the Mayan way, you know, the ancient Mayan civilization.
Yes.
And they have this special ceremony for people who die. It's not a funeral. It's almost like a celebration. It's not called a desperado, but it's called a delicato or something. Somebody will tell me.
Oh, really? Oh, I'll have to have one of those.
I think you need one of them. So after all of that in Liverpool, you decide to go with Ruth, your daughter, to Australia. And am I right that you actually managed her music career? Is that right?
Well, not really managed it, but she got a record deal. Oh, no, further on, we went to Australia and we tried to get to stay there, but... you know, we couldn't get visas to stay there. My niece, who was married to Auntie Millie, Paul's Auntie Millie's son, Tom, his wife, Beryl, said, well, if you've got to get out of Australia, come to me in Southern California if you can raise the fare. So Ruth and I had been doing all sorts of odd jobs in Australia, so we saved up enough to get 2 one-way tickets back to Los Angeles, and we stayed with Beryl and the Kendall family in Orange County. And during that time, Ruth met somebody, a young man called Paul Antonelli, and they got married, so that enabled us to stay. Ruth got, a green card and an application to become a citizen, and she was able to get extensions for me, and eventually I got my own citizenship. And we just, we jump from one thing to another. It's called survival.
Well, it is, but it also seems, and, a lot of the best people, they have a couple of lives. They live one life completely, as you did in Liverpool, and then you started another one that had you going eventually to California, where you stayed.
Still rocking, baby.
Well, you are, because the thing that you're known for there, and I don't know whether the McCartney name, it must, mustn't it, helps with this, because everybody says, oh, McCartney, it must be a Beatle connection, but you've got a business selling tea. It's not just any tea.
Oh, no, it's organic tea. Mrs. McCartney's tea, yeah. And we've got 10 flavours. Of course, being the opportunist that I am, I've named the flavours with beetle-y flavoured names like Penny Lane Peppermint and Abbey Road Apple and so on.
Have you got one for Ringo?
Most of the people who buy it are Beatle fans anyway.
Have you got one for Ringo?
No, I haven't. I sent him some. When he got his knighthood, I sent a package of tea to his managers, his agents or managers, his lawyer's office in Beverly Hills. So I'm hoping he got it. But one never knows, because you know how people as famous as that are just surrounded by, an entourage of people. And
you've got to talk to their people who'll talk to a few more people and eventually.
Talk to your people.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
So, Angie, do you live a showbiz lifestyle there in California?
No, I'm a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. What you mean? That's what
you get invited to various red carpet things and openings of movies and whatnot. But I think that's probably only because they think maybe I'll get Paul to come. But I always say to people, don't think it's a conduit to him. He's music. We are internet. And it's two separate businesses. But you'd be amazed every time he's doing a concert. I get maybe 600 emails. Do you think you could get me a backstage pass? I think, oh, bug off. I haven't heard from you in 6 years. I know you want something. tell I'm still the perfect lady.
Well, every bit that ever you were. But I did meet Paul once, and I have to say, I was, can I name drop again? You can probably hear it clang on the studio floor. I used to work on the Chris Tarrant show in London, being his sort of sidekick and news person. And Paul was the guest one day. And we were sitting there chatting away, and they said, come and ask Paul a question. So I said, Paul, when you think back on it all, does it seem to be real to you? And he sort of thought for a moment. He said, well, it's an awful lot of stuff, and it's, a long time ago and all that sort of. And then we started talking about Liverpool, and we forgot that we were on the radio, and we just carried on rabbiting on about Liverpool. And Chris is looking at me as much to say, you've got to get this show back on the road back on the show sort of thing. But we were just talking about what it was like to go back to Liverpool, the pair of us. And it was like I was talking to somebody that I'd grown up with, which I had in a way.
That's right. Well,
very odd.
I think that's one of those things with Liverpoolians. It's sort of, there's a common bond always and a big sense of humour that ties us all together.
So how did you not lose your accent when you've been in Hollywood, well, near Hollywood for 40 years?
I don't know, really. I'm too old to change. Ruth seems to sound a little bit more American than I do. But when my sister was alive, she died just over a year ago. She lived in Norris Green. And I used to call her every Saturday or Sunday. And Martin, my son-in-law, whose origins are from Germany, he'd say to Ruth, what the hell is she talking about? Because when I get on the phone to my sister, I'd lapse into a thick Scouse accent.
But Martin
would say to Ruth, what the hell is she talking about?
But you've still got it.
He's an honorary Scouser now. We brainwashed him into our way of thinking.
And when you're talking to people in America, what they tend to do is, even if you talk like that, if you talk like Ringo Starr like that, people in America still think that you sound like Prince Charles, don't they?
Kills my world.
Don't you think so? That even if you talk like that in America, they still think you sound like Prince Charles.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, I think they do.
Oh,
you might find, because I may well be wrong. So listen, as you told me, you're into your 80s now. But you've mastered, I've noticed this because I follow you on Facebook, which we've done for years. You've mastered the technique of how to make videos on Facebook. You know, that's pretty damn good. And you sit there and you give your thoughts.
I made one this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, today is the 20th of April.
Oh, yes.
420 is a figure that looms large in the cannabis world. And, of course, cannabis is becoming legalized in a lot of states and is taking off in a big way. Plus, medical marijuana is now getting much more approval.
Of course, it's something that they're still debating over here, as you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I have living proof that it works. I mean, I don't smoke the stuff, but I've rubbed the cream on my arthritic knees. And I recently had for about two years, I've had three little, like blackheads would be, only they were white, on my bottom lip. And we were at an event in San Diego a few weeks ago with a lot of cannabis growers and medical researchers and people. And somebody gave me a little pot of cream, and I put it on my lip, and all of these three things have gone away completely.
Okay, well, you know, what we have to say is, you know, to anybody here, you've got to go and see your doctor and go through the standard NHS stuff and all the rest of it. But I hear what you say, Angie. Yeah. But, you know, there are people saying with cannabis being legalized in California, isn't that the last place that you would want that being legalized? Because the people there were whacked out enough as it was.
No, it has a far worse rap than it really should have. I know there are a lot of silly stoners. But, in fact, I've posted a little clip today on my Facebook page because Martin found some glasses that look like marijuana leaves, got me to put them on with a green shirt and say, "Hello, everybody, it's Mrs. McCartney's Teas. I'm wishing you a happy 420, which I did this morning."
Just tell me again then, Angie, how old were you last birthday?
Last Thursday, I was 88.
If I could be like that. When I'm 88, I'd be doing pretty damn well. Angie, thank you very much.
There's no reason why you can't, Howard. Now, just don't be ridiculous.
Well, I'll do my...
Pull yourself together.
I'll spend the rest of my life trying. Just quickly, what do you do, because it's now Saturday morning over here, what do you do on a California weekend then? How does the weekend go there?
Well, this weekend, we've got a pre-production meeting at a little restaurant down the road. We're shooting a video for 3 days next week. For a company from England, it's called Kera or something. It's Wonder Brow Cosmetics that stay on. They're waterproof and they're smudge proof and everything. So they want to enlarge their presence in California, so they've hired us to shoot a video. So we've been today, and well, for the last few days, we sent out casting notices. We wanted a couple of Latina-looking ladies, like a grandmother and granddaughter, and a couple that looked like sisters of Asian origins.
So, in short,
Americans.
It's a working weekend.
So, we've gone like Ruth Martin and I have gone through 2,000 resumes this week and selected the people we thought best, sent them to the people in England, and finally got their approval at about 6 o'clock this morning to say, yes, these are the people to hire for next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that's what we've been doing, like a typical weekend.
It's obviously the McCartney's Teas that keep you going. Angie, thank you so much for talking with me again.
It's a pleasure. I was delighted when you got in touch.
And, you know, we Scousers, we have to stick together, right?
Oh, not off.
Thanks, Angie.
Okay.
God bless you. Thank you. Angie McCartney. I always used to get that wrong, and I did it again tonight. I always used to say, we were speaking with Paul McCartney's auntie. Of course, that's Paul McCartney's stepmum, Angie McCartney, in somewhere with a very exotic name in California, where the weather is probably much the same as it is here now. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because I'd just like to shoot the breeze with you, really. I think that's what it's all about in the next, how many minutes now? 38 minutes or so before Martin Kellner is here. You know, another one of my boyhood heroes from the radio, working with him. I want to talk, among other things, if you want to, this is, about what worries you. What makes you stay up nights? What makes you get concerned? You know, I get little, it's not the big things with me. How is it with you? Sometimes something will niggle away something I haven't done. I can tell you that last night, for example, apart from the fact that it was really hot, there is a piece of correspondence that I was supposed to have responded to do with something, I mean, something, I get really bored with anything to do with finance, you know, which is really silly because I need every penny I can get. But this letter has been sitting there and it's been undealt with. So last night I thought, okay, if I put that on the table, I'm going to see it when I get up and I'm going to do something about it for once in my life. Unfortunately, that was not the end of the story, because once I'd seen it last night and thought about it, and it was very hot and all the rest of it, I went to bed and I kept waking up every 2 hours or so, worrying about this thing that I've got to make a phone call about, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. And I've actually got until the end of next month to do it. But that doesn't stop me worrying. Oh, no, no, no. So what worries you? It might be the big stuff. It might be the small stuff. And there's a reason why I'm asking this now. It's not about what happened to me last night, although that sort of plays into it. It is to do with somebody that I saw today at a Tesco supermarket not far from where I live. It could have been any supermarket. It just happened to be a Tesco car park. This guy, he's looking thin and intense, and he's probably, I would estimate, about 70. Okay, and he's got a couple of, you know, the very long life carrier bags, not the 10p ones, but the ones that you can buy for a pound or so, and they will supposedly last you for a couple of years. He's got an arm full of them, and he comes up to me and he says, and the guy is clearly as sane as I am, which is saying absolutely nothing. And he says to me, "Can you help me?" And I'm thinking, oh my goodness me, this guy's got some kind of issue. I'm going to have to be calling 999 or something. He says, "I've got all these bags here. I don't know what to do with them. What should I do?" And I said, "I don't really know. Have you tried going to..." He was outside the store. I said, "Have you tried going to customer services?" He said, "Oh, I don't know whether they're going to want it." I said, "Well, if you want to get rid of them..." He said, "I've got too many. The problem is I've got too many." He was very serious, and he wasn't in any way even mildly deranged. He was worried that he had too many bags. He'd acquired too many bags. It was the biggest... I could see it on his face. It was the biggest concern in this man's life. And I hope he sorted it out. The best suggestion I could come to for him was... well, there were two. Number one, go to customer services, who probably would have looked at him as blankly as I did. Number two, there are recycling points at that particular Tesco car park. They have them at lots of supermarkets and places. So he could have put them if he'd wanted to kiss goodbye. And I said, "Do you want to kiss goodbye to them? Do you want to get rid of them?" He said, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Well, you could take them up to the recycler," at which he looked faintly horrified. But that's how I left him. So what worries you is one of the things we might talk about. It's 0344-499-1000, or anything you want to say, really, in the next 35 minutes or thereabouts. It's absolutely cool with me, because, frankly, Ian Lee's not here. I think he's seeing Chaz and Dave tonight, isn't he? Yeah, he's gone to see Chaz and Dave. Yeah, at the Albert Hall. Okay. I wonder if you'll get to meet them afterwards. I met them once. I met everybody. They were very nice. So 0344-499-1000. This is Howard Hughes at Talk Radio.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy.
That's easy for you to say. What was that geezer's name? Gary, my technical producer. Bobby McFerrin. I used to have a girlfriend years ago who hated that song when it was out. And I liked it. But she just thought it was trivial. Hayley Hayes, my producer, is here.
I'm bobbing along.
Well, with Bobby McFerrin. Did he have it? Gary will know. Did he have any more hits than that one? Or was that it? Was he played? He's not worried. He made his money from that. So we're sort of, kind of, roughly, talking about the things that make you worry. Now, I've got to say that I've been variously described as an alarmist and a worrywart. Is worrywart a southeast word? I don't know.
I think so, and I would tend to agree. I mean, you're lovely, but I think you worry too much.
I don't know. I've always been that way. And I don't know what it is.
You need to chill out a bit.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think you do.
I don't. It could be to do with the fact that I've spent most of my life in newsrooms.
Yeah.
Under deadlines, drink, as people will tell you who've worked with me, drinking stupid amounts of black coffee. So it makes you kind of jumpy, which is why I came into the studio tonight with a herbal substance that you can buy from big
Rescue
supermarkets.
Remedy.
Rescue Remedy, thank you,
yeah.
Which is supposed to be comforting and reassuring. And I have to say, and I'm not advertising it, please don't think so, but whenever I did big things, I was telling you about this before we came on air, if I had a big thing to do that involved speaking in public, which always terrifies, I mean, you'll be surprised at this, it terrifies me, I use this. A few weeks ago, I had to do a big awards ceremony. I don't often get asked to do these things anymore, so if you are organising one, I am available and very reasonably priced. You'd be surprised at how. Before I have to do anything like that, Hayley, I always just do a little bit of Rescue Remedy and I'm calm. I used to have to do...
It's not magic.
Well, I think it's just because I believe in it. That's what it is. You know, you need some kind of support. I used to do for years the British Comedy Awards on ITV.
Oh, yeah.
So I was the guy who at the beginning of it would say, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jonathan Ross. And then I would do the voiceover live throughout the whole show. Now, I've got to say that that show was usually recorded, and not recorded, it was done live. That show was normally done live from the London TV Centre, which is sadly, as we know, closing, around about the middle of December every year. I did it for 8 years. I would begin to worry about that probably at the end of November.
Oh, gosh.
First of all, I would worry about whether I would be asked to do it again. Okay, because every booking depended on
before
how good you were.
Before you'd even done it.
Before I'd even done it. Every booking would depend on how good you were last time, right? Yeah. So we got through that. Then once I'd known that they were confirming that I was being asked to do it, I would start worrying about it for 2 weeks beforehand.
Oh,
and then I'd get there to do it, and I'd worry beforehand. But then I'd sit down to do it, and I'd get the big announcement at the beginning. You know, they talk you into it, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, cue Howard, and then you're on. And I used to have nightmares about saying somebody else's name, you know, not saying, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jonathan Ross. His brother works here, of course. But it never happened, of course, because the nightmare that you have and the worry that you have, if you open your mouth and say something wrong at the beginning of the show, you have then killed a show that was seen by about 12 million people. And that was, you know, so once I got into the show, it was all right. It's rather like doing this. I was a little worried about it. Yeah, you wouldn't have known. I was a little worried about doing this. So we're talking about it, not about me, because it's too boring, but we're talking about worry. And the stuff these days that worries you. I read some research this week, and maybe this applies to your life, Hayley. It certainly applies to mine. People get jumpy and worried and anxious if they are parted from their mobile phone.
Oh, I am, for sure.
You know, we'll see. But look, this is not about us. Good though it is. Let's get Robin on from Pennsylvania. I know a Robin in Pennsylvania. I wonder if this is you. Hello, Robin. Robin.
Hi, Howard.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Robin, we have to say that I think this is the Robin who is one of the devotees of the unexplained. Is that so?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Ah, welcome.
There was a big delay on this line, Robin, but nice to hear your voice. What worries you, Robin? Does anything worry you in Pennsylvania?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, don't leave it there. What exactly then? Go on.
I guess the list could go from large to small.
Right. So you worry about the big stuff and the small stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the most recent thing you worried about?
And
I'll try not to talk over you because we've got this 2 second delay, transatlantic. What's the most recent thing that's worried you?
Whether or not my landlady is going to get the stove installed in our house sometime in the near future.
Right. Okay. And is that causing you to lose sleep, or are you just kind of generally concerned?
Sometimes I lose a little bit of sleep over it, which is rather silly.
Right. Well, you've got to. I don't know how you do it. But you just kind of have to. What's this thing that's around at the moment? Hayley, you might know this. The government even were encouraging school children to do this. What is it? Something to do with mindfulness.
Oh, yes, mindfulness. Being in the present moment.
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
Robin, do you know about mindfulness?
Yes.
Have you done it?
Yes, I meditate every day.
Okay, well, there you go. Robin, listen, we've got a terrible delay on the line, so we're going to have to leave you, but thank you very much for doing this. It was very sweet of you. And it'd be nice to know that you are there on Sunday night for The Unexplained here at Talk Radio.
I'll be there.
Thanks, Robin. That's amazing, because it's like throwing a stone into a pond and the ripples come back to you
in
2 seconds.
In this day and age, I mean, we can send men to the moon, but can we make a phone call transatlantic?
Well,
no.
You know, we used to be able to do those things, but it baffles me. Sometimes you get a connection, and I think it's to do with the way that phone companies route these things, usually the cheapest way. Sometimes you get a connection that is so complicated that it's like echo, 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 which that one was, sadly. Robin is a big fan of the unexplained, so it's nice to know that Robin's there. Mindfulness, though, is the best way it's been described to me. And I interviewed some guy in Australia who's like one of the international gurus of mindfulness. It boils down to just not thinking too much, not overthinking. That's the way.
Yeah, completely. Just think about what's going on right now, not what's been or what's about to happen, just right now.
I wonder what it is, though, that makes us concerned about stuff that might happen. It's weird, isn't it? Because in my life, the stuff that I've worried about that might happen usually doesn't. And it's the stuff that I haven't worried about that does happen.
That's what they say. And they always, I heard a nice quote the other day. It said, if you don't think it will matter in 2 weeks, then it doesn't matter.
That's good. I'm going to use that one.
Yeah.
Another one was told to me by, which is kind of tangentially linked, if that's the word to this, by Fevzi Tirkup. You know, the gadget detective?
Yes.
Fevzi Tirkup, gadget detective, whatever it is, on the net and Twitter and stuff. Lovely man, Fevzi. He's helped me out on many radio shows. But he said to me, and it was very wise, because I was worried about something that I was doing professionally. And he said, Howard, think of it this way. And this is really good for you. If you're thinking about what you're doing with your life right now, sit back. And this is Fevzi's formula. Fevzi's formula is the stuff that you're doing today, if you were offered it today, would you take it?
Yes.
Isn't that great? Now, in many cases, that is absolutely true. In some cases, the jury might be out, maybe. But it's a useful test to subject things to. Don't you think so?
Very good.
I don't know.
I'm learning a lot tonight.
But anyway, it wasn't me who said it. It was Fevzi, if you don't like it. So, in the night time, we are Talk Radio. I'm Howard Hughes. And it's, I can't tell you what a blast it is to do something that just involves opening your gob, as we say in Liverpool, opening your mouth, darling, and just generally talking and not having to worry, which is what we're sort of talking about now, about guests on The Unexplained and people like that and authors who may deliver for you on the night or may not. Let's get to another caller now here on Talk Radio. It's 0344 499 1000 for you if you want to come through to us. That number is quite likely to be included in your calling plan, so there's no need for you to worry about that. Lawrence in London, thank you for waiting, my friend. How are you?
Hello, good evening, good morning. Well,
worry. Are you worried?
No, not really.
Have you been worried? Might you be worried?
I this time last year, yes, I was going through a lot of changes, but things have moved on and.
And how did you deal with it then? We don't have to talk about what it was if you don't want to, but, you know, how did you deal with the worry?
Well, it was worry over employment. I got a new job.
That's always the way. And well, did you have to leave the old job, or did the old job leave you? Now, you don't have to answer that either.
Bit of both, really.
Okay. Well, sometimes it's like that, Lawrence. I know only too well. Okay. So, on a scale, if we have an anxiety scale that starts over here, you can't see this, but it's just there.
Go on.
At zero, and it goes over here by the strawberries. You can't see those either. I nearly put my finger in the middle of the strawberries, and then I would have been in trouble with Hayley.
Yeah.
To 10 over here, where are you now?
Oh, I'm fine. I'd say maybe 2, 3. I mean, look, making a bit of a generalization, but you know, personally at least, no more than a couple of paychecks away from being homeless. So that's always in the back of your mind.
Boy, and, you know, how do you, I mean, look, we don't want to trivialize this at all, because a lot of people are in this situation, you know.
Exactly.
My financial situation is not the greatest in the world either, but I'm not quite in the situation that you're in, and I totally understand. Mm-hmm. Do you manage to do that thing that Hayley and I were just talking about, and that's trying to be in the now and not think about the worst case scenario? I guess you have to, do you?
Oh, no, I mean, I work in research. I mean, technology, mathematics, so I've had enough to do to distract my mind, my thoughts away from.
Are you a clever scientist?
Well, clever, I'm not sure about that, but
you must be. Okay, and can you tell, you don't, again, we don't want to lead you too far along a path you don't want to be led along, but what kind of science is it?
Well, I'd say mathematical sciences, formal methods.
Wow. So when I was it like this when you were a kid? Haley's not going to know what I'm talking about now. But when I was a kid, I was a dunce at mathematics. I couldn't get it. I could do basic adding up. So when I worked on independent radio news, before the days when they had devices that could add up for you the total duration of the bulletin, we had to do news that was 180 seconds long exactly. You had a window of opportunity about 2 seconds either side, but usually you had to hit it dead on. And that meant timing all the scripts for the number of words in them and then mentally adding them up. I could do that. But when I was a kid, which was the point I was about to get to, Haley's starting to look worried now because once I get going, there's not much stopping me. We had these things called books of algorithms, weren't they? They were books of, do you remember those? Algebra tables.
Gosh,
do you remember
algebra.
Them things?
Oh, God, that brings back nightmares.
How did they?
Oh, gosh. Look, and do you ever use those in everyday life now? What was the point?
And set squares and protractors and all of those things. But these tables, Lawrence, please help me, because, you know, I was 11 when I was using them. What were they for?
Well, look, mathematics is a language. It's a formal language. It's a means of expressing thought, formal thought. Mm-hmm. The problem is that what you have on paper is just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. In other words, we see too much. We focus too much on the formulae, and not, you know, we fail to understand what the principles. I mean to say.
Right. And do you believe that, as some people have said to me, and I've heard famous mathematicians, I had a woman on the radio about a month or so ago who was a famous mathematician, and she said that numbers are a thing of beauty.
Well, I mean, if you want to be. Put it that way, that's fine.
Do you think you're either a number person or a word person?
Lawrence, that's one for you.
I'm thinking, I'm terrible at remembering names. I'm more comfortable with numbers, I suppose. Yeah, I suppose I'm more of a number person.
I'm pretty good at remembering names, Frank. Sorry. Well, really good. Lawrence, thank you very much indeed for that, and I hope your life goes trouble-free and without worry. That's all I can say.
Before I go...
Oh, yes.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. No, it's
Bobby
fine.
Bobby McFerrin.
Oh, yes.
He did have another hit.
Did he?
Well, he had multiple hits, but there's one hit that I recommend. Mm-hmm. It's Dance With Me.
Dance With Me.
It's the most beautiful, you know, beautifully life-affirming... song.
And is that the one that was done by, God, I'm doing this again, by that person, you know, who had a hit in 1982? It was the one that was on a German record label. You know, his name was, I can't remember. It was a Dance With Me, da 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 da, Dance With Me. Was it that song?
No, it's another one.
I'm just Googling.
Gary, my technical producer, who was just having a little sleep there. Gary! No, I'm only kidding.
And he does his famous sort of scat as well. So
we'll try and find the song, because it must be on YouTube, and we'll try if we can. Lawrence, we've got to move on, but thank you.
Thank you.
And good night. Lawrence there, talking about the subject. Somewhere along the line there, we were talking about what worries you. And somehow we got into mathematics. And what were they called? Algebra.
Algebra. I think.
And they used to, when I was a kid, you used to have to go to the bookshop. You get them at W.H. Smith's, and they would be 10 pence, right? But then in my day, everything was 10 pence.
Yeah. It's like the Long's times table. What were they called?
Division.
What was the point in that as well?
If you're hearing this now and you know, what is long division and long multiplication? Where does that come from? Or as we used to say in Liverpool, what's that when it's at home? Do you have that saying here? You have to help me.
Yes, we do.
What's that when it's at
home? You talk like it's a different world. It's only about 400 miles away.
Don't you talk about my home city like that. It's a great place, and it made me everything I am. That was one of the other things I was going to talk about, and that is, have you changed or been caused to change the way that you speak? Because in the era that I was growing up, my father, okay, Walter, God rest his soul, a wonderful, wonderful man, and I owe him so much. But he talked like I do, same voice pitch, but with a Liverpool accent, of which he was, quite wrongly, terribly self-conscious. So whenever we go on holiday, because my Liverpool accent was slightly milder like that, it was more kind of Paul McCartney, when we go on holiday, he'd get me to go and ask, and my mum to go and ask at the hotels and guest houses of Devon if they had any room, because he thought that if he went there, they wouldn't give him a room. God. So, you know, have you ever changed the way that you speak? Because they told me when I went into radio, this is a million years ago, you've got to smooth out your accent. So I did. And look what happened. This is Talk Radio. I am Howard Hughes.
Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
Dance with me. I want to be your partner, can't you see? The music is just starting, the night is calling, and I am falling. Dance with me.
Martin Keller is here. He follows me after 1 o'clock. You know what this song is, don't you?
I know the song, yeah.
Do you?
The song was done by Will Leans originally, I think, wasn't it?
Is this the same words? Because we had some dispute about this. Dance with me.
Yeah, no, it's the same words.
Dang, 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 dang. And there was even a famous guitar ace who you and I will remember called Earl Klug.
Earl Klug, yeah.
Who had an instrumental hit with
that. Version.
God, my brain is...
to the news on commercial radio, 1984.
As we used to do back in the day. Hey, Martin Kellner.
Yes.
We were talking with our caller, Lawrence, who's a mathematician. You know, you get the highest quality people on this radio station, Martin. And I said, there are people who are, and we agreed, didn't we, Hayley, that there are people who are numbers people and they've lived all their life. But at school, they forced us to use these things called algebraic tables. Do you remember those?
I remember doing algebra, you know, x equals y plus, you know, and then they put things in brackets and everything just to confuse you.
But they were logarithmic tables, not algebraic.
Oh, yeah, log tables. I remember log tables.
Log tables, thank
Sines, cosines, tangents, all that.
And what was that thing that, in my day, and maybe in yours too, teachers were quite tough with stuff like maths.
Mm.
You know, they liked to drill it into you. They didn't just expect you to get it by osmosis or whatever.
Mm.
What was silly old Harry can't add hundreds to our amazement? So cartoes, side over hypotenuse equal. God, what the hell was that?
No, well, I don't remember. We were never told that. It sounds like a lovely piece of poetry, that. It's Wordsworth, wasn't it?
I think somebody might have made a song out of that. And if they haven't, Martin, they should.
They should. They should, absolutely. No, it's another one, mnemonics, isn't it? But I don't know which one that was. We did have some, we had little books with signs in the back of them.
I know.
Signs,
that's cosines. What you were talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't algebra. It was logarithm. Algebra is where letters represent numbers. A plus B equals C. This is logarithms.
Logarithms, yeah.
And I had the greatest delight just a few years ago when I emptied my mum and dad's house up in Formby, Merseyside.
Did they know you were emptying it?
Well, like, the coppers were a bit curious. But I had the greatest delight in tearing up and burning my 10p logarithmic table book.
Yeah.
Because it baffled me and caused me great pain and suffering.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I mean, your listeners who are over 58 will remember those.
Well, definitely. Even those of us who are over 35.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Martin, you know, the point of this exchange, lovely though it may be, is what's on your show tonight? Then?
Well, we're obviously reflecting on the very sad news of Dale Winton's death. We both knew Dale Winton as a radio man. And we've, in fact, got a little bit of audio of Dale from United Biscuits Network.
Oh.
Did you ever work for the UBN?
I didn't, but I so many people that I've known,
people,
like Graham Dean and
Roger Day,
and
Pete Reeves. There was a lot of people came from.
And the guy who trained everybody there, and I can't remember his name. I bet you remember. He went under the professional name of Tony Windsor, didn't he? On Pirate Radio.
Tony Windsor, yeah, Pirate Radio. So I don't know his real name, to be honest. That was his DJ.
It wasn't
name,
Dave
wasn't it?
Dennis, was it? No, it was somebody else.
No, but anyway, just whoever it was.
United Biscuits Network.
But Dale Winton was there. I mean, a lot of people who've listened to commercial radio for a long time will know of the United Biscuits Network, because a load of people came through that and worked on Capital Radio and various other commercial stations.
Adrian Love, for one.
And Dale Winton was one of them. So I've got a bit of that audio. And we're talking to TV critic Ali Ross, he's the Sun's TV critic, and he's the best TV critic in Britain, no mistake. Well, Ali Ross is talking to us about Dale Winton. Also on the show, we do a little feature called Not Dead Yet, which this grew out of David Bowie. When David Bowie died, the next day you switched on the radio and wherever you went on the dial, they were playing David Bowie. Mm. And I just thought to myself, what a shame it is that we have to wait until someone dies before we actually pay tribute to them and play their music. So we do a feature every week called Not Dead Yet, where it's people who are maybe, you know, been in the business for a long time, and we'll get a few sort of archive interviews and play a bit of their music, or if their comedy, do a bit of their comic stuff. And tonight our feature is Bob Dylan.
I thought you were going to say Bobby McFerrin for a minute there.
No,
I nearly fell off my seat.
No, so it's Bob Dylan. Was Bobby? Do I something about Bobby McFerrin? I don't know. Did he? Is he? Is he?
Oh, but no, we had an odd. That was another one of our random.
Yeah, we were playing thing. Before.
We foolishly played "Don't Worry, Be Happy,"
yeah.
Which was Bobby McFerrin's big hit in which year?
Oh God, 1989, 1987.
I think it was 8. But I stand to be corrected here. Yeah. So, Lawrence very kindly told
88,
us...
88, you're bang on.
88, see? Wow. There you go. Lawrence very kindly told us that he had a whole raft of other hits, including that tune that we were talking about to do with All In's Dance With Me.
That was... He but that, that, well.
That was...
Well, we used to play him a lot. When I was on Jazz FM, we played Bobby McFerrin a lot, because he did... I mean, he did loads of stuff. He was, you know, in the jazz world, before he had the pop hit, he was a massive name. It's a bit like Herbie Hancock, who was huge in jazz and then had the big pop hit.
So I've missed... Rocket. All these years, I've misjudged Bobby McFerrin, because I had him in there
you
with
he was
the,
just a one-hit wonder?
Well, I thought he was, you know, a lot in that pantheon of people like Joe Dolce, who had a hit with Shut Up Your Face.
Oh, my goodness,
one-hit wonder. He was much more than that, wasn't
much,
he?
Much, much more. You know, loads of jazzers loved Bobby McFerrin. We used to play him a load on Jazz FM.
Okay, well, I think we need to rediscover him here at Talk Radio. So, I'm sorry, I led you down a thousand garden paths, but we need to find ourselves again, otherwise there'll be more trouble.
Well, we're talking also to a guy in the Cotswolds who runs a model village. You know, he runs one of these little villages where they've got... Basically, it's a replica of Boughton-on-the-Water, and it's like a little proper Cotswold stone replica. And he's selling his little tiny model village because he wants to downsize, which is an interesting concept. We're also talking about... Oh, there's loads of stuff we do. Oh, yeah, we're looking ahead to the London Marathon because it's going to be the hottest marathon ever. So we're talking to a guy called Dave Healy, who is a brilliant guy. He's blind and he's run 15 London Marathons, you know, obviously with a guide runner. And he's a real brummy. He talks like this.
Was he really?
Saw him, yes. And he's joining us. So and we got a few live people in the States.
And, of course, they're telling people with the marathon, though, that if they're wearing a costume, which a lot of people do, they need to think twice about it.
Don't do it. I mean, just think how hot it is. You know, even the costume you're wearing now must be hugely hot.
No, I don't know. The clown look is in, they tell me. Martin Kellner, thank you very much, Martin. Nice to work with you finally.
And you too.
All these years. You know, our careers have... They've brushed.
Sort of parallel.
They've taken that. Yeah. Let's get Kevin on now in Stoke-on-Trent. Kevin, you have some information for me, and my God, we need to hear it. Are you there, Kevin? Can you hear me? One knock for yes, two knocks for no. We do a lot of this on Sunday nights.
Twice on the pipe.
That was Dawn, wasn't it? Knock three. Kevin, in Stoke-on-Trent, you've got some information that
Hello.
We need. Hello, Kevin.
You're there.
I'm sorry, we were just talking so much with Martin Kelly, you probably lost the will to live. But you've got some information for me, yes?
Oh, is this you, Howard?
Yeah, no, you're in delay. I think you've got your radio on, so first rule of radio...
Right, Howard, I'll turn it off straight away. Thank you very
much. Good man, good man. Otherwise, I hear myself coming...
I just cannot believe I've turned the radio on like 1 minute ago and you're on about logarithms.
It's all right. It's not a hanging offence. It's all right. As long as you turn it down, don't worry. Be happy.
No, I've turned it off now, actually.
Good man. Well, you can turn it... In 20 seconds from now, you can turn it back on, but not until then. So what's the information that we need to know?
Well, I thought I might be able to educate you, actually.
Well, many people have tried.
Well, do you know much about Pythagoras?
No.
Well, do you know anything about logarithms?
No.
Do you know anything about...
Anything.
Do you know anything about SOHCAHTOA?
Well, that's the thing. Silly old Harry can't add hundreds to our amusement or something. What is that about then?
It's a bit more in depth than that, Howard.
Is it? Okay, most things are.
The sine over the hypotenuse.
Yes.
you know, if you're on about a 30-degree triangle, mm-hmm. I mean, the cosine of an angle mm-hmm. is like the adjacent divided by the hypotenuse.
Is that, excuse me, tangent, is that an isosceles triangle?
Well,
or is it just pleased to see me?
As long as it's a square angle.
No, it's, yes, yeah. Okay.
I mean, the tangent is the opposite divided by the adjacent of an angle.
Now, here is the most important question then. This mathematical knowledge, which is way superior to mine, I was a complete dunderhead when it comes to all of this stuff. How has it been useful in your life then, Kevin?
Oh, it's been very useful indeed. Mm. It has. Through being a precision engineer all my life, up until about 10 years ago, I would say. Well, actually, I had a 10-year break.
Did you work for Rolls-Royce? Were you with Rolls-Royce doing that?
I was, actually. Well, not for Rolls-Royce, but a company that was like...
Well, something similar. So you worked right at the top, so you use it. Because I tell you why I ask this. I have endless respect for people who do what you do. I spent a little bit of time recording some stuff at the National Physical Laboratory just outside London.
Mm-hmm.
And there they do, measurement is what they do. It's all about maths.
Well, I have worked to, the minuscule, you know, tolerances, as in microns, you know, which are like 1,000th of a millimetre.
So now you're not doing this then, Kevin. Is all of life a big bore now? Now that you're not involved in all these numbers?
It is, actually.
I thought it might be. I had that feeling.
Now I'm not doing it, Howard. Mm-hmm. It's like I dream about it every night.
Do you? But you don't worry about it, do you? Please tell me you don't worry about it.
I do, actually.
Oh, do
those
you?
Numbers just cannot stop going through my head.
Well, that kind of... Kevin, thank you very much for that, and have a good night, please, and enjoy Martin Kellner, who follows me, and we're out of time here. I've just got to say, Hayley Hayes, my producer, you know how trepidatious I was, you know, how scared and worried I was about filling in for Ian Lee, because he's such a big name, and who am I? Just a tiny little thing in the firmament. Thank you very much for helping me out tonight.
Pleasure.
Well, there you go. My name is Howard Hughes. That's the cross that I have to bear, and I've had to for all of these 36 years, he quipped. And I will return here on Talk Radio with my own show. I haven't done the preparation for it yet. I've got loads of work to do this weekend. It's called The Unexplained. It's on at 10 o'clock. It's on Sunday night. It's only on Talk Radio. Martin Kellner is next.